Police say 26-year-old Seth Tatum killed 67-year-old Lou Perryman on Wednesday here in the 1100 block of Darbon Circle. KXAN's Matt Gleaner joins us live in the studio with our top story, Matt.
Well, Robert and Leslie, tonight very sad news for the Austin film community. Police say 26-year-old Seth Tatum killed Perryman with a sharp object in a random act on Wednesday. That's after police say Tatum attacked his stepfather with gardening shears less than 3 miles away, fled on foot, and wound up at Perryman's house.
And Mr. Perryman was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Thursday, police say Tatum drove to the Travis County Courthouse to turn himself in. That led police to find Perryman's body at this home on Darbon Drive.
He basically made the statement that, by the way, that's a stolen car, and I'm pretty sure that I killed the owner of that car.
The owner, one of Austin's original film characters.
Lou was just a one-of-a-kind Austin character.
He's one of those guys that nobody had a bad word to say about.
Just the shock, finding out Lou Perry was murdered. So, but I am glad that I got to see him, and the dude was awesome.
This episode of Dead Pit Radio is dedicated to the memory of Lou Perryman. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Dead Pit Radio. This is the April 10th edition. I am Uncle Bill.
And I'm the Creepy Kentuckian, if you will. And you know what happens on April 10th, don't you, Uncle Bill?
Free hand jobs.
No. April 10th is the day you can lick my ass.
Is that really what happens?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that day. You can get your cats to lick your butt with their old sandpapery tongues.
You've thought about that way too much, haven't you?
I have. That'd be nice. Anyway.
Yeah, we got a show this week.
We got a wonderful show this week. I can't think of a show.
We put a lot of time in this.
Yeah, packed and stacked with entertainment than this show coming up right here, because we've got Jackie Earl Haley Expo to do.
Expose.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about Jackie Earl Haley in the fan pit. They're going to fall into the fan pit with
That's
Jackie
right.
Earl Haley.
Well, we just want to know your thoughts and opinions on Jackie Earl Haley, new Freddy Krueger. He is the new. Yes, they've replaced Robert Englund, folks.
Yeah.
And he will portray Frederick Krueger in the new Nightmare on Elm Street.
Jackie Earl Haley sounds like a guy that would be around here. He'd live up Muddy Gut or something.
Sounds like a serial killer to me.
I mean, he really does. Like, hey, Jackie Earl. Get your ass out of here and help me with them tires.
Come here, Jackie Earl. You got to go down to the garage and pick me up some shit.
But anyway, we got DVDs.
We got DVDs. We got horror news. We got all kinds of good shit. So, the movies we're reviewing this week, Uncle Bill, I don't know. I don't know if people really care. But the first one, I definitely want to talk about both of these movies, because I enjoyed them both in very different ways. But we'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
We have a new movie from Synapse Films. Actually, not new. It's a really old movie, but they're just now releasing it here in the United States. The first time this movie has been released here in the U.S., as far as I know. Starring the lovely, gorgeous, titty-rific Christina Lindbergh, simply put, one of the hottest women to ever walk the face of this earth. No doubt about that. And this is the movie from 1971. One of the first movies she ever did, Exposed. We're talking about the new DVD edition of that. And, whew, woo, baby!
We're going to be talking about big old melon jugs and balling and all kinds of tomfoolery.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the movie itself a little bit later, but, you know, and we've seen recent pictures of Christina Lindbergh, who is almost 60 years old. Let me tell you something, okay? Still to this day, she is hotter than fuck. She has got the body of a 20-year-old. I mean, she's aged in the face. But Jesus, I just cannot believe that somebody that age still looks that good.
She's Swedish, though. I mean,
yeah.
I think all Swedish women look like that when they hit that age. But anyway, the other film that we're going to be talking about is an epic true crime masterpiece from our friends at Lionsgate.
That's true.
It is BTK, which stands for Bind, Torture, and Kane Hodder.
Yep, yep, indeed. And this is a show, as well, that we really wanted to, I think we should dedicate this show to a good friend. We actually had him on the show early last year. And, you know, when it first happened, I had no clue. You know, I was just assuming it was natural. You know, maybe had a heart attack or, you know, aneurysm, stuff like that. You know, stuff like that happens. But, I mean, for it to happen the way it did, it just makes it even worse, I think. But, I mean, we didn't really... This happened right as we were finishing the show last week, so we haven't really talked about it much. I mean, I dedicated a video to it because I really felt horrible about the whole thing and felt like I should have done, I needed to talk about it a little bit, you know, to get it off my chest.
Once we found out what actually happened, with that whole situation, like, it really bothered me a lot. Because that's real life stuff there. That's not movie stuff. And that whole day and the day afterwards when you actually did the chat and stuff, I just wasn't into talking about horror films or anything. Or even, I didn't even want to think about the genre. Just because something like that is, when that happens and it's that horrible, it almost, you got to pull back a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as Lou Perryman goes and talking about him, and I mean, that was probably, and I did a video, as a matter of fact, like probably a couple of days before it happened, talking about our best interviews, and he was like one of my favorite interviews. Probably would have been up in the top three or four of my favorite interviews just because of how cool he was to talk to. So,
well, the thing about him I noticed from the first couple minutes we were chatting with him is he's a character. You know, he's one of those guys. Wouldn't even matter if he was in horror movies or not. Just an interesting guy to talk to, you know. It has the way he tells stories. Like, there's a lot of people that live around here that are just great storytellers. And that was him. I mean, he had some great, memorable stories from the original Texas Chainsaw and Chainsaw 2. Hilarious stuff, you know. And, I mean, to be honest with you, stuff like that happened to anybody. I don't wish anything like that to anybody. I mean, I'd feel awful if it was Eli Roth or somebody else that we don't really, I mean, appreciate, the directors of Creepshow 3. Something like that happens. It just sucks, no matter who is involved. But, I mean, Lou Perryman being such a great guy to us, and like I was saying, I mean, just like 2 weeks before him leaving a voicemail, a Dead Pit voicemail, we never got a chance to call him back. Because, like I was saying in the video, I think that he just wanted to talk, you know, just to shoot the shit, I guess. And we didn't get a chance to do that. And that made it even, I mean, that bothered me even more. Because, I mean, people say it all the time, but you never know. I mean, if somebody calls you, you should try to call them back whenever you can.
Well, the circumstances, like I was saying, though, the circumstances behind what happened, it being like a random murder, just made it even that much worse. Like I said, though, man, like, that was one of those things. For some reason, that really, really bothered me. I can't pinpoint right now why it did, but it was such a needless thing to have happen to a guy like that, and it made me not want to be a part of the horror genre because it hit way too close to home for that period of time. But yep. I think that, you know, as of now, it's probably a good idea to remember the man and not what happened, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can. I mean, we have an interview with him, a two-part interview. You can go back and listen to anytime you want to. And we played the entire interview as like a dedication to him on the Blog TV last Saturday. And there's also an interview Ray Boucher did with him on YouTube for the site that you can check out. And a lot of people have checked that out and left their own, you know, well wishes, condolences and stuff to the family and all that. And, you know, it's just awful, like I was saying. I mean, there's nothing else you can really say, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, there's not really anything you can say about that. But
anyway, I guess we could just move on, yeah. I mean, and talk about some of the stuff going on this week. I know last week's show, we broke a really big news topic, thanks to our good buddy, the Slipster, Michael Slipcase Felcher, and about Night of the Creeps, finally coming to DVD. I know it's been on the wish list of, you know, every horror fan for the past 5 or 6 years, at least.
Well, yeah, hell, when we started doing the show, there were two films, more so than any others, that I wanted to see come out on DVD, and it was Night of the Creeps and Blood Diner. And now, you know, one of them is going to be a definite, you know, it's going to definitely happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And, shit, we were covered, our site was mentioned on, like, almost every major horror website, and even the big news sites like Ain't It Cool News, which actually quoted Michael Felcher as Michael Slipcase Felcher, which I thought was great.
It lives on, yeah.
That's right. Getting sleepy with it. So, yeah, Night of the Creeps is coming. If you missed it, October, Uncle Bill.
I can't wait.
I know you were silenced with that news.
I know. I think I passed out in my chair when I heard that. So. Yeah.
And you woke up, you had piss, vomit, and shit all over you. You know.
I don't know how you would have vomited on me on command, but that would have been nice to see that happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. God, this next story, you form your own opinions about it. And then Wayne Toth is, of course, the makeup man for almost all of Rob Zombie's movies.
Little Wayne.
Yeah, Little Wayne Tall. Yeah. And he's the makeup effects guy for H2, and he has this to say about the new film. Talking about the photos that were leaked out of the bearded Michael Myers. That's Michael's new look for a lot of the film. Fans will be shocked. They seem pretty responsive to it, but it's like anything else. As long as you're doing something cool, people get it. It says the fans, he assures the fans that there will be a new interpretation of the Myers mask. There has a couple of different versions of the mask, but none of them are the same mask from the first film. He says he wanted to take them a step further, even though one of them is basically supposed to be the last mask. We changed it anyway. Then towards the end of the film is the current version of the mask, which is a lot different from any of them we've seen. People are going to be surprised when they see it because it's going to throw Myers fans for a loop. Basically, he goes on to say that about 90% of the film is going to be without a mask. Michael Myers is going to be going on without a mask.
And this might surprise people.
I think this is bullshit, by the way.
But, I mean, the way I look at it is, he did the last movie, he had Michael Myers in a mask the whole time. You know. I mean, I think the more Rob Zombie makes the movie his own style, the better it'll be. I mean, it might not be good for a Halloween movie, but, I mean, I'm actually not totally against this idea, to be honest with you. I mean, how many Michael Myers Halloween movies, like in the mask, do you need? I think that it's been done to death, you know. So, I mean, maybe he's just trying to, give Michael a new look.
I just like the fact that the way these new filmmakers are doing this, like with the Friday the 13th remake, they tried to put every single version of, that you've ever seen of Jason in one film. So they had him like wearing a fucking Big Lots bag on his head during the first part. Then they had him with the, you know, find the hockey man. I don't really think you can call a film Halloween and not have that mask in there, though. It's not like Friday the 13th where there wasn't a mask in the first one. I mean, that mask has pretty much been through, except for part three, been through every film. That's like the recognizable feature of those films. I don't get that.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how he does it. I mean, the mask is going to be in the movie, but, I mean, truth of the matter is, what I always didn't get about the Halloween sequels especially is something always happens to Michael's mask in the end, but then the beginning of the new sequel, he always gets another mask. Where the hell is he getting these masks at?
But it's obvious, though, if you watch.
He got like a deal with non-post.
If you watch Rob Zombie's Halloween, I mean, the guy was an expert mask maker.
Oh.
He makes all those himself.
Well, good for him. Something else I've got, though. About the Terror Train remake, Uncle Bill. We're all big fans of Terror Train.
Yeah, Terror.
Says, while Lionsgate's Train, and that's what they're actually renaming it, Lionsgate Films Train.
Lord.
Yeah. It was actually initially supposed to be a remake of the Roger Spottiswood 80s, early 80s slasher flick. It was later removed from the same conversation. He says, it's been rumored that another company was working on an actual remake of the film, which starred Jamie Lee Curtis as one of the six girls targeted on the train after a prank goes wrong years earlier. And it looks as if these rumors are true, Uncle Bill. On the official website for Free Fall Films, they report that a remake of Terror Train is slated to begin filming in May of this year with Alex Wright tapped to direct.
Das Wunderkind.
That's right. Alex Wright. Here's the synopsis they provided. Amy and her friend Stephanie are set for the ultimate party weekend, a Halloween fraternity bash aboard a moving train. But when a costumed psychopath starts killing the passengers one by one, it's up to Amy to stop the murderer.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeet.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeet.
At the beginning of this, it says the remake of the 1980 classic. Has anybody ever seen Terror Train? That movie is not a classic by any stretch of the imagination. That movie's pretty shitty, actually.
Well, a lot of people would say that would be a good reason to remake it.
I'm just saying, though, why have the word classic in, like...
Well...
It's not like...
Terror Train's one of those movies, though, and I'm a huge fan of slasher. Everybody knows this. I love slasher movies. I don't mind Terror Train, but, I mean, I wouldn't even put it in my top 20 of slasher films from the 80s. I mean, I like the fact that they killed David Copperfield in it. I mean, that's good, because I always hated that guy. I always thought he was gay, too. I don't know if it... I mean, he acts gay. I know that. He was married to Claudia... Who was it?
Schiffer.
Claudia Schiffer. So I think that might have been a...
But Terror Train is not a movie that I think of when I think of slasher films. Like, that would probably be one of the last movies I would think of, to be honest, because it's just not a good movie at all. I think somebody likened it to, like, trying to be Halloween on a train or something to that effect, but it doesn't even come close to being anything like that. So here's a...
True that, yo.
Here's some news about another remake that probably should never happen, but inevitably will. Stephen King's It. You've got Dave Kashganek, who is the writer of the film. It's going to be a theatrical remake, of course. He had this to say about the upcoming take of the film. It says, The remake will be set in the mid-1980s and in the present almost equally, mirroring the 20-odd-year gap King uses in the book, and with a great deal of care and attention paid to the backstories of all the characters. I think the real twist here is that my pitch to WB, which I guess is Warner Brothers, which they've assured me they're on board for, is that this will not be PG-13, this will be R, which means we can really honor the book and engage with the traumas that these characters endure.
Woo-hoo.
So I plan to be very protective of the book. The reality, though, is that Warner Bros. Wants to do this as a single film, so I'll have to kill a few darlings to make that happen. You have my promise, though, that I will do this with the utmost humility and respect for King's work. He's the king, motherfucker. Come on. Give me a peanut butter and dextrose sandwich.
I mean, I don't know what to think about this, really. I mean, I know that the It remake, they're planning on making it a theatrical movie this time around. But the thing is, It is such a long story. Like, I don't know how you would accomplish that in under 2 hours, which is what it would have to be, I'm sure.
They can do it.
I can.
I got faith
in it. Get Michael Bay involved. They have all kinds of explosions.
Well, you mentioned this before, and it's kind of true, though. Like, the second half of the original miniseries was actually pretty damn lame. So, like, they could take out a whole bunch of that and focus more on the kids and stuff. That'd probably
make a lot better of stuff, too, they could probably improve upon that was in the second half, like the big fake-looking fucking spider thing.
Yeah, that
looked
bad.
Horrible, especially now. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We will be back. We have more of that creamy horror goodness you all know and love. And we're going to be talking about Jackie Earl. Jackie Earl Haley.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
He looks like a cancer victim, doesn't he?
He does, like I said.
So, we'll be back after this quick break here on
DeadPit.com.
The return of the living dead.
More brains!
Do you want a party? It's party time! We got a party! It's party time! Do you want a party?
They're back from the grave and ready to party. The Return of the Living Dead, rated R.
Hello, creeps, it's the Crypt Keeper, and I'm a friend of DeadPit.com.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. I'm a creepy Kentuckian.
Welcome to hell! Yeah, come on!
I want to talk about the Fright Night Film Fest 2009, Uncle Bill.
Let's talk about it. What kind of guests are they going to be shucking and jiving?
August 14th through the 16th, we can finally talk about this. Madman Mars himself, Paul Ehlers. You know, we pulled some strings over here because we hear a few things. He's going to be making his way down to fucking Louisville.
Lord of the campfire, telling me
what the fuck you... What? You're singing like, Lord of the... That doesn't work.
Yeah,
anyway,
didn't work.
Madman Mars is going to be there, and I hear things. We got a 35mm printed Madman over here.
Oh, really? We do?
You!
Who's got that, buddy?
You!
Who ever had that have to be a dumb dick ass?
Buddy, fuck you. So, yeah, we may... I'm not even sure what the schedule is, but the plan is to play that 35mm print sometime that weekend.
Is there going to be a live commentary with Madman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this will actually be at the Georgetown Drive-In one of those nights. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Kathy Coleman, who was Holly Marshall on Land of the Lost. That's one of your favorite shows.
Great show.
Marshall Bell, who I always remember him from Stand By Me, and that'll actually be, oddly enough, I would actually like to talk to that guy for a little while because I just that's like one of my all-time favorite movies. And he was also in Elm Street 2, was like the gay gym teacher.
Yeah, the guy's been in a lot of stuff, really.
Yeah, I've never seen him do a show before either that I can think of. And Tom Morga, who we actually had on the show, the only guy to ever play Jason, Leatherface, and Michael Myers. And Daniel Emery Taylor, who was... I actually really liked the scenes with that kid. He was like the chubby kid with the Playboy magazines. He did a great job in that movie. I haven't seen that movie in years. Sybil Danning, who's one of your favorites, the old Harry Titties from Howling 2.
Oh, God, yeah, the Howling 2. I got to talk to her about that. I'm sure she gets enough of that already, though.
Ted White. Motherfucker, that's going to be cool.
Texas, son of a bitch!
Don't mess with Texas. Al Snow, of course. John Dugan's always there. He's always there drinking heavily.
Is he?
Yeah.
He really is.
J.D. Fogelson from Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. I actually have the Dark Knight of the Scarecrow t-shirt on right now. That movie's awesome. And guest of honor right now, Uncle Bill, Jim O'Rear.
Jim O'Rear gets around, man. He's going to be, not only is he going to be at that show, he's going to be at the Nashville Tattoo Full Moon Tattoo yeah. Core Conference. He's also going to be at the wonderful ZP International World Independent Film Expo as well. Jim O'Rear's a damn mega conglomerate.
Fuck yeah. And in all seriousness, though, like
I'm being serious.
I've heard a few things. And we get, you know, we get some behind-the-scenes info from Fright Night quite a bit. But I don't even know who the guest of honor. I have no clue. He will not clue me in. I will say that there's somebody from Hollywood, though. Like, they're still making movies, whoever it is. I don't know who it is. But there's, he's also got plans for other people, which we can't talk about. But they've never done a show in Kentucky, I can tell you that. And, you know, she's been known to have nightmares.
Oh, golly. So I heard it was going to be Patrick Dempsey, though. That was going to be
yeah. I'm going to get my Meatballs 3 VHS signed, man.
Yeah, get my Can't Buy Me Love poster signed. Let's see. Let's talk about, we already talked about Jackie Earl Haley. I think everybody knows by now that Jackie Earl Haley is going to be the new
Jackie.
Freddy Krueger.
Jackie.
So, let's talk about some, a ton of actual new DVD releases that are coming out from a company that I can't even get a hold of whatsoever, which is My Communication. They're releasing a bunch of films in the coming months, including Legend of Blood Castle,
hell
May
yeah.
19th, another film, though. It's a retelling of the Countess Bathory legend from The Living Dead at Manchester Morgue with an anamorphic 1.71 transfer. Also coming June 30th, Horrible, a.k.a. Absurd, a reteaming of director Joe D'Amato and George Eastman. So you got that to look forward to. Sergio Martino's Island of the Fishmen. Apparently in the U.S. it was known it was known as Screamers in the U.S., which has Barbara Bach in it.
Island of the Fishmen.
Richard Johnson, yeah.
That sounds like a blockbuster right there.
But the one that I think I'm looking forward to the most by far is the new one from Blue Underground, which is another company that's going to be releasing. I think it was originally released by Anchor Bay for a very limited time, which was Sergio Martino's Bloody Giallo film Torso, which is coming out
July. We're gonna get a Blu-ray of that.
The 28th. I don't even coming out with a Blu-ray of that.
You know something that's funnier than fuck though. I was reading in the last Whorehound magazine. I didn't even know this. You know that fucking movie Dark Reel came out.
Yeah.
There's a Blu-ray of that.
Have you ever seen that? I actually tried to watch that because it had Tiffany Shepard in it. I always try to watch anything that has Tiffany Shepard in it. My yeah. God.
I haven't seen it.
I dare you to watch that.
If Lionsgate will send me the Blu-ray, I'll try to watch it.
Eddie Furlong's hiring groceries throughout that whole film.
Mm.
And not in a wholesome Corey Haim kind of way. I'm talking about like in a blown away, I can't even like make it through one scene kind of way.
Backlot Murders kind of way?
Yeah, like that.
Something else that I recently found out about that I thought was a little interesting. We all know and love the Monster Mania convention, which is held up twice a year in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. But Monster Mania has started a magazine, Uncle Bill. Did you hear anything about this?
No.
Monster Mania Magazine, a magazine for the fans, by the fans, issue 1, is actually now available and features a retrospective on the Evil Dead.
So it's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and it's a new magazine, right?
Yeah.
There's a fucking magazine over here.
Hey, oh, my God.
Buy this fucking magazine, you bastard.
So it's monstermania.net, the same website as the convention. You can read all about it.
What is the theme of the magazine?
Horror.
Yeah, I know that, asshole. But, like, Whorehound has the collectible thing. Rue Morgue has the artsy-fartsy stuff. What's the theme of...
Hell, I don't know. I don't have it.
But didn't you get the information?
They don't have the kind of information. It's a horror magazine about horror conventions.
That'd be fucking killer.
We'll have convention coverage everywhere.
Here's a couple of people, though, that we're really good friends with, and luckily we are, because I would not want to be on the bad side of any of these individuals. Toe Tag Pictures.
Oh, God.
Has a new film coming out. Of course, you may know Toe-Tag from such films as the August Underground Trilogy and the Red Sin Tower, but their latest film is Murder Collection, Volume 1, directed by Fred Vogel, of course. The film revives an early 1990s internet clip show, Murder, which was notorious for streaming videos of actual killings. What? After gaining popularity, the infamous show was discovered by authorities and shut down, forcing the host Balin into obscurity. Over more than a decade in the shadows, the obsessed host continues to search for scenes of brutality that provokes a maelstrom of emotion.
Yeah, that sounds fucking killer.
So they're going to have that. And I know that we were talking about this, that one of the people that we know is going to actually be in the film.
He's already been in it. Our good buddy Jason, a.k.a. the Fiend of Gru, has a role in this. I don't know how the hell that happened, how that all came about. I know that he's, for years, been singing the praises of the guys and gals at Toe Tag Pictures. And you know what? Whether or not you like those movies or not, I mean, I'll say this. They innovated a whole subgenre of shit. I mean, and started from scratch. And you got to respect it. I mean, you just have to.
It's one of the only films that I've ever watched since we've been doing this show where I was actually moved in some way by it.
You were offended.
I was, actually. I mean, that's hard to fucking believe. After all the shit that I've seen, that movie was very offensive to me. Which is awesome.
Yeah. And you've seen all the Jerry Springer Klan episodes, too.
I have. I've seen scat porn and all kinds of other stuff. Eel porn. Midget porn. Midget eel porn. Midget scat eel porn.
A horse butt fucking a man.
I have actually seen that.
I've seen that, too. Jason Payne, what the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously.
I mean, we know that you're a big equestrian. Big fan of equestrian sports, but golly, that's taking your love one step too far, I think. Yeah.
He'd be shitting footballs for decades.
He will. That's so nice one. Yeah. Somebody fix that damn muffler on that.
Last thing I have on here is The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Oh, yes, it's getting remade, too. And this will probably be the next film for director Breck Eisner, who's now directing the Crazies remake. He's directing every kind of remake he can. And here's what he said about the possibility of the Creature remake. He says, we turned in another script. I think they're probably going to see how the Wolfman does first, and then we'll probably know from there. I haven't really been on top of it for a month. I've been in Georgia making the Crazies, but I'm hoping we'll be on it for 2 years. We're all very excited. He says we came close to going, and we're going to prep before the writer strike. There's going to be another writer strike, all of you greedy fuckers. He says the look of the creature is set, although Eisner was careful not to reveal much, stating that the creature design is done. Macquarie did the designs. It's a combo of CGI and man in suit. Says for close-up, it'll be suit work. For moving shots and wide underwater stuff, it'll be CGI. He says some of the underwater movement of the character can't be done by a guy in a suit. And he says the Creature remake was initially envisioned as a 3D project, but with the current renaissance of the project, Eisner admits it might be a possibility. He says, we weren't considering 3D before, but the landscape in the last year has changed. You'd expect it to be. People have forgotten the original is a 3D movie, but they'll remember it once the next one comes out. Really?
Whoa.
Actually, I think the week before we saw Suspiria at the Baxter Theater in Louisville, they had a
Suspiria
3D version of The Creature from a Black Lagoon playing.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
They did it by decades. I remember that. They had 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, one film they would show down there. I don't know how I feel about the whole 3D crazy trend right now. It's never
it doesn't really affect us because we don't have any of that shit.
Make any difference to us. But I want to do this real quick story because this is basically for an audience of one. Because there's one guy, I can't remember who it is, who's always on the damn Blog TV video chats talking about the movie fucking Cruel Jaws. Always wanting to get us to watch the movie Cruel Jaws.
I've never heard of it.
Every time he gets in there, he talks about it. So
here, I love Cruel Jaws.
Listen to this, buddy. The film, directed by Bruno Mattei in 1995, will be released by Italian company Storm Movie on May the 21st. It will be the anamorphic widescreen edition with English and Italian language options. So there you go. You're going to have Cruel Jaws. It's going to be an anamorphic widescreen. Yeah.
If you want us to watch it bad enough, you send us a free copy. We might watch it then.
And the last story that I've got pretty much tops every other story because of the sheer absurdity of it, which is there's going to be a Saw video game.
Hell yeah.
Let me repeat that. There's going to be a fucking video game based on the Saw movies. It's going to be coming out from Konami.
What?
Konami.
Konami?
Yeah, Konami.
Konami?
Same thing. You say tomato, I say tomato.
I've never heard it called that.
So it will be released.
That's like an Asian man saying it. Konami! Konami!
That's true.
Egg roll.
But it will be released on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PC, I guess it's not going to be out on Wii. That's not surprising.
Because Wii's for little kids. That's why you have one.
And it's going to coincide with the release of Lionsgate's Saw 6. I've seen pictures from the game, some screenshots and stuff. I don't understand. I really don't.
What's not to understand? Why don't they make a fucking Friday the 13th game? Where it's sort of like Grand Theft Auto, but all you do is go and kill people, you're Jason.
So here's the plot, though. It says, the game's plot will be original, tying into, but not directly adapting any of the films. As Saw fans might expect, gameplay will center on torturer Jigsaw's signature traps turned into puzzles. Players control a character in an asylum who is to decide whether and how to solve the puzzles and save Jigsaw's victims. God almighty. You know Tobin Bell's ass is going to be the voice there.
Yeah. I'm thinking, though, I mean, even though the Saw movies still make decent money, it's like one of those things where ultimately they're going to have to quit making those movies. I mean, it's just getting a little bit ridiculous. Like, this year's going to be Saw 6. Are they going to keep calling them? Like, is it going to be Saw 6, Saw 7, Saw 8? I mean, they're going to have to quit.
I hope so. What's the option of that? They start calling them, like, Saw Redemption and shit like that? Saw the bludgeoning. Yeah. I hate it when fucking companies start doing that.
Some screenings coming up, though. Tonight, April the 10th, Exhumed presents a double feature of Evil Spirits Run Amok. $10. The doors open at 7:30 p.m. The show starts at 8, International House Theater, 3701 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. Home of ECW, buddy. It all starts with Sam Raimi's Evil Dead 2 from 1987, a 35mm print of that, and The Asphinx, directed by
Peter. The Asphinx?
Yeah, The Sphinx.
Oh.
Whatever, I don't know. Directed by Peter Newbrook from 1973, a 16mm print of that one, so you can enjoy some film prints if you live in Philly.
I want to see The Asphinx.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
The ass stinks.
So here's DVDs for April the 14th, which is next Tuesday. You've got The Band from Hell coming out from a special edition from Tapeworm. I love some of these companies that come
Tapeworm.
Up on Tapeworm. Bled, special edition from Lionsgate. Forest of Death from Image Entertainment. My Best Friend is a Vampire. Lionsgate is coming out with that one. That's part of their Lost collection of films, which also includes Repossessed and Slaughter High special editions from Lionsgate. You've got Summer School, which is a 2007 special edition re-release from Osiris. I don't think that's the same Summer School I'm thinking of. With
probably not.
The Splinter special edition Blu-ray from Magnet and Magnolia Entertainment, and The Trek special edition from Plan 10. That is the
ooh, baby.
DVD releases for April the 14th.
That's right. So we're going to take another break, and we're going to take your fucking phone calls, folks.
Yibbity-dibbity.
We're going to talk about Jackie Earl Haley, your thoughts on the new Freddy Krueger.
Let's go, Jackie Earl.
And we're going to take your fan questions. We've got a bunch of questions to talk you motherfuckers about. So we will be back here on
Dead Pit.
God damn!
lives a legend in these mountains of a killer. Inhuman. Insane. If you so much as whisper his name, he will appear. And if he appears, he'll be the last thing you'll ever see. Madman. Rated R.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I am Uncle Bill.
And big thanks goes out to... Well, we didn't have an interview, did we, this week, so we don't thank anybody.
Big thanks to us.
Big thanks to us for being around to create this awesome fucking radio show.
Big props. What?
So, what we're going to do, though, we're going to be taking your phone calls. All things... Freddy Krueger remake, I guess, related.
You're talking about Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah, because it was either that or Open Topic, you know. So, I couldn't think of anything else to do. Because that was the big news as far as, like, horror goes this week.
I'm sure that people will call in about other stuff than Jackie Earl Haley. I'd like to think
I don't know. Jackie Earl Haley, you know, he's pretty big dude.
He's kind of a big deal now, isn't he?
So, we do have fan questions, though, as well, and we got some long ones on here. And you people, you seriously need to keep them shorter than this. This is ridiculous. You think this is all the shit we got to do is read your long-ass emails?
That's mean, buddy. Look, seriously.
So, what we got, Uncle Bill?
Okay, John Smallberries writes in, says, got a couple questions for you. What are your favorite kills among the classic director's movies? For example, best kill in a Romero movie, best in Argento movie, best in Carpenter movie, and best kill in a Craven movie. And what is your favorite death scene in any horror movie ever? He says, great show last week with Slippy dropping the bomb and all, but I gotta know, who did the cover of Metallica's Day That Never Comes at the end? That was awesome, and is there anywhere I can get it?
Who did it? I don't know.
Girl I found on YouTube who does a lot of like acoustic music and stuff, and I always thought that song, that was a pretty decent song, and it was a completely acoustic version of that song. I think her name is Lisa Harvey, and you just search for that. She spells it L-E-E-S-H-A Harvey, or Leisha, or would it be Leisha? I thought it was Lisa. But yeah, I mean, that version of that song was fucking awesome. I think it's better than the original song, actually.
Wouldn't take much. But anyway, what are your favorite kills among classic directors? Let's go with Romero. Favorite kill. That's an easy one for me.
Romero, yeah. I would probably say the Day of the Dead, Joe Pilato.
Yeah, you got to go with that, man. I mean, that's the one automatically comes to mind. Best in Argento movie. Holy shit.
Argento. The one I always liked, though, was the... in Suspiria, the lady falling from the glass.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And hanging herself, I guess, and then eventually falling completely, you know. I like that one a lot.
That one was one of my favorites. I always liked the one where the lady in Suspiria, fell into the razor wire. And I would actually put, the one with Corleena Cataldi Tassani from The New Mother of Tears up there pretty high, too. I thought that one was fucking...
Yeah. And, well, that reminds me of her death scene in Opera. She was a... what do they call the people that work on the costume designer, yeah. I guess? And meets a grisly demise with some scissors. And that was a really good death scene,
There's
too.
So many of them, though. Carpenter movies.
Carpenter movies, best death scene.
I got mine. I know mine. Mine would be not by far, but a pretty good landslide would be the defibrillator death from the thing.
Right.
Where he puts the defibs on there and pushes through, and it goes straight through his chest, and the jaws close and tear his arms off, and that I always thought that one was just
I mean, I don't know. John Carpenter, his, a lot of his movies, I don't know. I mean, The Thing has some good stuff in it. But, I mean, just trying to be a little bit different. I mean, Halloween wasn't really about creative death scenes as much. But one that I always liked, and it's not really anything special, but it, I just thought it was funnier than hell, is the scene in Assault on Precinct 13, mm-hmm. where one of the assailants, I guess you would say, shoots this little girl with a Vanilla Twist ice cream cone. And she was like, I ordered Vanilla Twist, bang! You know, and it was just so, you would never see something like that now.
No.
And that's why I liked it so much.
Okay,
so.
Finally, Best Kill in a Wes Craven movie.
Wes Craven
movie. God, that's easier than hell for me now that I think about it for a second. Ayn Rand's basketball. By far. Like, that just takes the cake for any. That's probably, and the next question is, what is your favorite death scene in any horror? That's probably my favorite death scene in any horror film, just because of how absurd and awesome that is, that it's Ann Ramsey that gets fucking decapitated by a basketball. And then her little corpse, that's obviously not a corpse at all, who's kind of like wiggles around for a couple minutes.
I thought a really cool kill scene in a Craven movie, though, was Last House on the Left, the original, where the mother actually bites the guy's dick off. Always
yeah, that's
that one always sticks with you.
That's pretty brutal.
And favorite death scene in any horror movie is a tough one. I'm just going to mention one that I just thought of would be Lucio Fulci's Gates of Hell or City of Living Dead, where the girl pukes her guts out. I mean, that's just
in the
awesome.
Correct order as well.
Yeah.
I always thought that was neat.
That's just fucking awesome. So we do have a lot of people fucking calling in, so we might as well take a phone call.
No, I don't want to take no phone call now.
As y'all know, we're talking about Jackie Earl Haley.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
What's happening, guys? This is Bad 32.
Hello, sir. How
are you doing, man?
Not too bad. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing all right, I guess. We're.
Oh, that's cool. So the what's the topic? The new Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, we're talking about old Jackie Earl.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Do
yeah,
you think?
I've never seen anything with him, so I really couldn't be a judge of it per se. But I don't know. You can't really fuck with shit like that. You can't really change Freddy. I mean, I can't see it working.
Well, I mean, that's what I said. I mean, it's not really a knock on old Jackie Earl.
Right, right.
It's just like, that character, more than anything else, is Robert Englund. You know, it's going to be really difficult, especially if they try to keep the same look as Freddy in
well,
the original movie.
If they try to go, like, I think if they try to, like, make this into, like, something scary or something like that, it's not going to work. I think they should need to go, like, with the comedy and shit. I think that's the only thing that's going to work.
Right.
For a remake at this point, I think.
A lot of people have been reading the script, or what is perceived to be the script, online. And if that's any indication, it's not supposed to be a funny film whatsoever. It's supposed to be completely, like, dead serious.
Yeah, I think that was one
I think they're going to fuck that up then.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons they didn't want to get Robert Englund back, is that everybody saw him as a comedic character now, and they didn't think he'd be believable as a, you know, just a scary villain in a horror movie, so.
Yeah, I think you could pull it off, but at this point, I mean, I think if you see Robert Englund, you're going to expect something funny, you know, one-liners, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously whoever said that, though, has never seen The Mangler, because he was terrifying in that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, the guy, like, I don't think he's replaceable. I don't think that role is interchangeable, even like, talking about like Hellraiser, the Hellraiser remake with like Pinhead, I think you could find somebody to do that quicker than you could find anybody to do what, you know, Robert Englund did. I just,
yeah.
You might as well just start over and make it like dead serious now.
Yeah, I don't see it working. I was looking forward, I know there was a rumored back a while back was a prequel. Now I'd look forward to something like that, you know, but as a serious role, that would be interesting, but, you know.
Yeah, if we ever see anything like that, I'm sure it'll be a prequel to this new remake.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
But, ma'am, have you got anything else you want to talk about?
Not really. really. What's the last movie I've seen? I've seen that Let the Right One In. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
I picked that one up. That was pretty good. What's the last thing I've seen? I'm watching. Not a lot lately. Just a little bit here and there. Just been getting older stuff.
I gotta say,
70s and 80s, so.
I gotta say, though, like, I went back and actually watched that movie again. Let the Right One In, like, it really surprised me how good visually that movie was. Like, I don't know about, because where it was subtitled and dubbed and all that stuff, how good I thought it was with the story-wise, but the way that film was shot was pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah, it had, like, definitely, like, I don't know, it had that feel like, kind of like Fargo, I don't know.
Yeah, it did.
You know, you got that? It kind of had that feel to it. But, I don't know, I seen Rue Morgan given one of their issues, it gave it the front page, so... It's the best thing I've seen in a while, so.
I thought that it was cool that it was shot. It was supposedly set in like 1980, 82, something like that.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering why. I thought maybe, I don't know, where exactly was it shot exactly? What is that, that's not a French film, is it?
It's Sweden, I think, isn't it?
Wasn't Sweden?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were like behind the times or whatever, or like look at the clothes or what, like.
Like kind of like filming, it's like kind of like filming something around here. We're always like 10 years behind everybody else.
That's why, in a lot of ways, it reminded me of like the Argento movies of that era and like the Fulci stuff. I mean,
yeah, I mean, like a lot of foreign films these days. I mean, they don't really. I mean, other than High Tension, you don't see too many of these foreign films doing the dub over. So I like that. I can appreciate that because that's what makes it a lot easier. That's why I never really. Was attracted to the Japanese horror genre. I've watched a few of them, but I'm just like, I don't have time to sit through these, you know, and read all the subtitles. So.
Yeah, normally I try to do something else, too, when I'm watching a film. I like multitasking and stuff like that, so if it's not dubbed, yeah, like that. But it's not dubbed, though. I don't know, I can't read the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, with the Italian flicks, I have to watch them, like, a couple times to really take the entire film in. So, I mean, if it's got subtitles and it's, like, you know, something that you have to watch three or four times, it's not happening, you know. You're not going to end up watching it, so.
Yeah. But,
I wanted to ask you guys about, I know you guys had some cameos in a few short films. What was the, because I was listening to some back episodes, what was the first one you were in? Was it Backwoods? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it was Backroads. Was it
Backroads?
Yeah.
Backroads? How do you get a hold of that, copy of that film?
I don't know. It's almost like getting hold of London After Midnight or something.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, we don't have any copies left, do we?
No, I mean, other than the copies.
Did you guys do like a giveaway or like a drawing or something with them?
Actually, I mean, we had initially a bunch of copies to sell that Goose gave us. we were going to give him the money for them. But that was only, I mean, we only had like 8 or 9 copies to sell, and we sold those pretty quick. But, I mean, I'll talk to him about that. I mean, if there's an interest in that, we might, I'm sure he'd be interested in that, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, I was looking on his, because I didn't even really, I wasn't aware of even who had directed the film, because I was looking at Goose's IMDb page on IMDb Pro, and I didn't see that one listed, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was just that was only a 25-minute short, you know, so.
Ah, I see. What do you guys got, like a little bit part in it? Just a 5-minute short part, like in Haddonfield?
Basically, yeah. We got like 5 minutes at the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think of the ones that we did with him, that was for some reason still my favorite.
Yeah, it is mine too.
But yeah, I mean, the Haddonfield one, like if you see us at a horror convention, we'll more than likely have copies of that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if Goose is going to put together like a compilation of a short films collection, I would definitely be interested in buying it. So.
Cool. And there's another one that we did, although I don't even want to say we even have cameos in this.
No. Because
we don't really have speaking roles in it, but it's out from Camp Motion Pictures. Stash, which we shot like...
Okay, yeah, I've seen some stuff about that on IMDb, so...
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. I think we did a short little part
Is that the one with Debbie Rochon on it?
Yeah.
The Stash? Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, that's pretty much our film career so far. You
know? Yeah, that's our filmography, yes.
I never thought we would have IMDb pages, you know, listing something.
Well, I've seen Creepy Kentucky. You got one there, but Uncle Bill, I don't see a IMDb page for you yet.
I've got one. It's just not under Uncle Bill, is it?
Uncle Bill has two of them.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, really?
If you look on the End of the Pit IMDb page, you'll see Uncle Bill's real
name. Oh, okay, that's where the one is. Okay, all right.
Yep. But, man, we appreciate you calling in. We're going to try to take some more phone calls.
Right on. We'll, you guys have a good one, man.
All right, good talking to you.
All right, later.
See you. So let's go ahead and take another phone call. It's lighting up over here.
Hello, you're on Deadbeat Radio. Who's this?
This is Ed.
Oh, shit.
Well, it's been a long time coming, brother.
I know. How you guys been?
We've been well.
We've been doing all right. Trying to keep it creepy in Eastern Kentucky, you know.
Well, what else can you do, right?
That's true.
We've been thinking about you, though. We wondered what the hell happened.
I hope in a non-gay way, though.
No, we actually been thinking about you that way, too. But, you know, that's a different story for a different day.
The Jason Payne, Jason Payne's, you know, homosexuality rubbed off on us, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. He had to flee the country to get rid of that stuff.
So. Yeah. That's why he had to leave. A lot of horse raping charges.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear from you finally. I know it's been a while, so.
Yeah, it's been busy. I'm trying to, you know, Thursday nights come quick, and I always forget about it usually. I remember, but it's like after the fact, because I'm horrible with time, so. You know, yeah. But it's good to hear from you guys, or talk to you guys. I mean, you know, how the hell you been?
Yeah, we've been doing all right, staying busy ourselves, and trying to find time to do the show.
We didn't get to go to Wasteland, but I noticed you had some stuff up at Wasteland, or you kind of connected to it through other people, I guess, too. I saw like some videos and stuff like that.
Oh, you mean some other jag-off website?
Right, yeah.
it's cool. It's I have no problem with those guys. I never have. You know, it's funny because, like, I just leave people to their own devices and to think whatever the hell they want, to be honest with you. I mean, if somebody cared, they could always ask, but, you know, it's all good. It's fine. Me and Russ are cool. We've been cool for a while, so it's funny because you figure that, like, doing all this stuff, you kind of live through the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like if people don't see, they're like, well, I guess they're not cool anymore. I'm like, well, I mean, if you want us to do YouTube videos of us, you know, getting drunk on a Friday, I mean, if that's really what you want, then, I mean, we could do it, but other than that, you know.
I gotta be honest, I thought that video was one of the funniest things I've seen.
I swear to God, like, Russ was so drunk.
He was hilarious.
You should have seen him at 2 in the afternoon because he was just as drunk. So.
he was plastered off his ass. It was awesome. Hilarious.
And the thing about, we were talking about Rick of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it always seems like he's a little drunk. I don't know what that is.
We can never tell, really, if he's like...
If he's just normally talks like that or what, but, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I've been around him under both occasions. I'm pretty sure his speech doesn't really change, so, I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, I figured I'd call in, too, and talk. I found out what the topic is for the week, too, and it's, you know, what do you think about, like, the new Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
This will be easy. Gay.
Yeah, it is pretty gay.
I mean, if you think the badass kid on the dirt bike from Bad News Bears is scary, then by all means, make 14 of them with him.
Yeah,
they probably will.
The interesting thing about Jackie Earl Haley that I didn't know is that he's a really like miniature little guy, and he's like 5'4" or something.
It makes me wonder too, because like remember whenever Freddy vs. Jason came out and. They didn't pick Kane Hodder, and they were like, well, we want to go with a bigger version of Jason.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like, you know, we're going to go with a minier version, and maybe if they make, like, 3 or 4 more of these, by that time, maybe they'll have somebody that's, like, 2 foot tall playing them, and Charles Band could direct one of them.
It's almost like the Luchador minis that they had that are recreations of the originals, you know?
There you go. Just have a mini Vader come out and start fighting Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah. I mean... To be honest with you, though, I think anybody, like I was saying, that they got, it just wouldn't, it's not going to work. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it if Freddy is just going to, if they're just going to dress somebody else up like Robert Englund, you know, from the 80s. But I'd say whoever they get, it would suck.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's really getting to the point now where stuff is just, it's funny because remember, you know, like years and years ago with horror movies and stuff, the fun stuff, like the B-movie stuff, was either through video, you know, like played in the shitty theaters or it was in the drive-ins, and the good stuff, quote-unquote, was what was playing in the mainstream theaters. And now it's funny because it's completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you see the cool, groundbreaking stuff on DVD or at least something that, like, I don't know if you guys have seen Laid to Rest. But that's a movie to me that totally got it. It's a cool little straight-to-DVD slasher movie. It's better than My Bloody Valentine 3D or Friday the 13th was. And it's like now the stuff coming out in theaters is just either watered down and you don't give a shit about it, or it's laughable. Like, really? That's what they're doing now? But, I mean, you know, what can you say?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we haven't seen Laid to Rest yet, but we've got in there. That's Robert Hall, I think, was the guy that directed that. But you're actually exactly right, though. The stuff that comes out in theaters is almost like, I almost look at that on like a lower level than I do the stuff that we get direct to DVD. Like, I got Let the Right One In, and I like that better than anything that's come out probably for the last year in theaters. I mean...
Well, I mean, I think, too, because that came out last year, so, you know, with that movie and, let's say, Inside, you lump those two together. I mean, the sad thing is those are two people that give a shit. The directors, the total three, I guess, directors. But, like, they care about what they're making, and they're not stuck in a, you know, the grinded studio system like a lot of people get pigeonholed into here. I mean, to me, one of my favorite movies this decade is High Tension. I love the movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's excellent. And Alexander Aja has never had another chance to do that again.
Yep.
You know, and he just gets brought in, do remakes, whatever. You know, whatever is completely thoughtless and the easiest fucking process to do is what they do. And it's sad, but it's what's going on.
Well, I think they're just too worried about making money more than anything else. I mean, they're not worried about making a good movie. It's just what brand can we... steal from next, I mean.
You know what? I really want to get your guys' opinion on this, because I read this, I think it was today or yesterday, and it blew my mind. But I read somewhere that they said in the new Halloween that Michael Myers is going to go 70% of the film with no mask.
Yeah, I actually heard like more like 90%, but...
I would never say this before because I was always, you know, let's give somebody a chance. But see, like, would Rob Zombie just fuck off already? It's horrible.
No, he won't. But I mean, when that news broke, we were talking about that earlier on the show. When it broke, like, I was looking at message boards and stuff. People lost their damn mind. I mean, you want to talk about backlash? Like, when they, even people that were kind of all right with him coming back, you know, to do H2 are fucking pissed now. I just don't, like I was telling him, it's not like Friday the 13th. It's not even like that where the mask wasn't even introduced until like part three. I mean, that mask, the Halloween mask, the Michael Myers mask, has been there from the very beginning. It's basically the whole fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand.
He's the shape.
Yeah, don't understand how you get away from that.
Well, I mean, I think it just depends on how you look at it. If you look at it from a Halloween, just a strict Halloween film perspective, I mean, it's sort of disgraceful. To do that, but at the same time, I mean, I'm willing to bet that the movie itself will probably be a lot better than the original Rob Zombie Halloween, because it seems like he's making it more like a movie.
or Paula's shit is still shit.
Yeah, but
he's like, making it more like a movie he would direct, though. I mean,
yeah, somebody said, they mentioned it earlier, that it's starting to morph into like the Devil's Rejects or something.
Yeah. I don't know. See, it bothers me, though. I mean, I'm all for filmmakers being able to follow their own vision and make the movies that they want to make. But I'm sorry, but when you're involved in the Halloween franchise or, you know, Friday the 13th, and in that movie, too, they changed the character of Jason from who he was. And, you know, when people say, well, it shouldn't be that big of a deal, I say, no, fuck that. Because you know what? If you're a fan of Superman and you find out they were making a new movie with him, but instead of wearing the Superman outfit, he wears a gay purple fucking suit, you're going to be pissed. It's
That's
the
right.
point of it. There's been a legacy already built for that. And if you can't follow that, then go make Laid to Rest. Or go make Gutter Balls, or go, you know what I mean? Don't do the fucking remake.
I think he wanted, like, to have his cake and eat it, too, in the sense that he got, like, locked in for the money, but he doesn't even want to make those films. Like, he wants to make the kind of shit, the exploitation inbred kind of shit.
It's another thing, though, where the movie studios, the executives ruin that. Because Rob Zombie, I mean, a lot of people may not know this. He never wanted to make Halloween 2. He said it in interviews. But they've sort of got him locked into this contract where, you know, if he wants to make Tyrannosaurus Rex, he has to make Halloween 2. I mean, that's just how it is. They won't let him make it because they own the rights to T-Rex. So, I mean, it's one of those deals where, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't really want to make it.
Maybe he is purposely sabotaging the movie.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I mean, that could be the case. But, I mean, I've heard it through the grapevine that he really never wanted to make Halloween 2. He's just doing it so he can make the T-Rex movie.
And so be it. I mean, if that's the case, then that's the case. But at the same time, you know, that's Rob Zombie's responsibility to, if they're making him make a film where it's not his vision or it's not what he wants to do, then it's his responsibility to walk off the set and quit or basically look like a dumbass. I mean, if that's the way he wants to look, then that's fine. And if that's worth money and stuff to people, that's cool. But, you know, I mean this honestly, and I'm sure you guys would probably agree with me on this, something, you know, something like this too, but, I mean, I wouldn't fucking sell myself out like that. I mean, it'd be, yeah, especially if I was in his shoes. Is he poor? I mean, doesn't he own, like, fucking Ted Bundy's goddamn VW bug? I mean, what the, yeah, so you're broke, sell that fucking thing then. I don't, you know, what the hell?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what his rationale is. I just know that he's making some of the worst choices, like right out of the gate with this film, that it would almost appear that he's purposely trying to fuck this movie up. I don't know.
That could be the case. But the thing I look at as far as the legacy of Michael Myers and Halloween, to me, he already ruined that with the original Rob Zombie Halloween. So, I mean, I think it can only get better from here. I mean, maybe that's why I'm a little bit more optimistic.
You gotta take a look at the guy's music, though. His music career, I mean, if you really want to look at it, I like a lot of the White Zombie stuff, but it got to a point where he was essentially just remaking songs, kind of, too. Like, he was getting into that sampling stuff where he would take samples out of other songs and remake that and put that shit in there and take samples out of movies. I mean, he kind of has always done stuff like this in one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know what I mean, it's the hip thing, too. I mean, you have to wonder, bottom line, if Rob Zombie didn't have the music career that he had, would he ever had a chance to make the movies that he's made? And it's probably not, you know? So, I mean, more power to him, but I mean, if he keeps up this, you know, whatever. I mean, he must not give a shit anyway. I mean, trust me, I mean, we could sit around here like nerds and act like people give a fuck if they're revered or not. But at the same time, you know, when you have revered on one side or a big fat check on the other, most people don't give a shit, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Conventions have proved that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But.
But yeah, I'll get off the line and let you guys talk to some other people. It's been super cool talking to you guys, and I'll definitely try and get in touch with you guys some more, obviously. And, you know, just, you know, everybody check out SlasherClub.com and BloodTypeOnline.com and DeadPit.com, and we're all a big happy family, you know what I'm saying?
We're a happy family. It was good to hear from you. I do wish that you'd call in, you know, more often. Cool. It's always nice.
Yeah, for sure, and keep up all the good work. I know that you're reviewing a fuckload of movies now over at Blood Types.
Keep it up. Trying to.
All right, man. Good talking
to you. Take care, guys.
All right, see you.
See you.
Bye.
What the fuck, man? I never thought that would happen.
Oh, yeah. I always knew it would happen one
day. So anyway, let's get on, though. Good to hearing from Ed, though. A good buddy, Ed. That dim kid.
Okay, are we going to do this one? Because this is going to take forever.
It's going to take forever, but we might as well, because we got a bunch of people calling in. They can wait.
All right. Strebo writes in. Wait a minute. This is yours. You have to redo. Thank God.
Okay. Strebo says, what's up, CK and Uncle Bill? He says, great job with the Barbeau interviews. Your interview get better and better all the time. He says, this is not my question for discussion. But have you tried to track down Robert Englund for an interview yet? He recently did an interview on another podcast, so perhaps you could get a hold of him as well.
I have tried to. I've emailed two or three times, and both times he was out of the country.
Yeah.
Like doing a film.
It's one of those deals where I think that'll eventually happen, but I mean. Are you going to ask Robert Englund? He ain't already been asked, though, really. I mean.
That's true. As far as Nightmare on Elm Street goes, nothing, I'm sure.
In a recent show, you guys were talking about hack. He says hack films, but it's hack movies because they don't shoot their stuff on film, believe it or not. He says, how you enjoyed the work because they don't take themselves seriously. He says, I've never seen a hack movie, mainly because if I'm going to buy a DVD, I want a full-length feature, and two, because I don't care for that over-the-top, campy, poo-poo, dick, and fart joke humor that companies like Troma seem to patent over the past 30 years. If I ever run into Kevin Strange at a convention, I'll probably pick something up from him because I like to support independent filmmakers, and I thought that his interview on Dead Pit was really inspirational, but I don't care for campy horror at all. He later goes on to say, you went on to state that one of the reasons you didn't like Eli Roth or his particular brand of horror is because he takes himself too seriously, and you close by saying that the independent horror scene needs more films like hack movies and Kevin Strange are producing. He says, I would also like to say that I wholeheartedly disagree. I think that the last thing that horror films need are campy, over-the-top movies. In fact, I think that that proliferation of these type of campy horror films is what's killing independent horror today. I'm not referring to hack movies specifically, because I've said I've never seen their work beyond trailers. I'm talking about what seems like endless series of goofy, blonde boobs and scatological humor. Scatological. Tinged horror films that are set out not necessarily to tell a story or to frighten the audience, but just to make a movie because it can be done. These campy horror films seem to have little or no thought behind them, beyond this would be funny. Says, I don't begrudge anyone the right to make or watch and enjoy these films, but in the late 80s, the horror genre had descended into pop culture camp, and the genre almost died. He says, horror films should set out to frighten their viewers at some point. It's as simple as that. And I think the answer is not to say that horror needs more films to take themselves seriously. Instead, we need a mix of both. Horror needs its Troma and hack movies just as much as it needs directors that work in more horrific ways. What say you, CK and Uncle Bill, after that long ass shit? God, buddy, what's wrong with you?
Shut up!
Shut the fuck up, Screamo!
I think the point that we were trying to make, if I remember from...
That's been a long time.
Yeah,
ago.
From what you're talking about, was with films like Saw and Hostel and all these, the millions of friggin' projects that followed in those films' footsteps, you really need more films and more directors that don't try to take their shit so seriously and shove that stupid, torture-esque kind of crap down people's throats, I think.
If you like Eli Roth so much, does any of his movies ever attempt to frighten you at all? I don't think they do. I mean, I think that they're just gross-out movies that are shocking more than anything else. I mean, one thing that Eli Roth has never, ever tried to do is build any sort of tension in any of his movies. I think that's because he doesn't know how to do it, you know. The whole thing with Eli Roth and us is not that, I mean, it's his personality is one thing. I mean, he just seems like an asshole to me. But, I mean, his movies are really horrible. It's not the fact that they're not, you know, campy Troma-style movies. I just really hate those movies that he's done. I mean, I cannot for the life of me figure out, besides the gore aspect, why anybody likes his movies at all. It's one of the mysteries in life to me. We need to get Robert Stack on the case.
Yeah, but to talk a little bit more about his point here, I don't think you need to have everything be like super silly, and I don't think you need to have everything be super serial either, but I really wish at this point that more films would take a bent toward the comedic horror films, because there's not a lot of that stuff out there, man. It's like all really bleak, dark stuff. Even the slasher films, like the really crappy slasher films, like, you know, Friday the 13th, I always try to be really fucking serial and greedy, or did I say serial?
Yeah.
Really serious and greedy and
really
fucking
seriously.
You know what I mean? They all look like the Saw films and stuff now. I just want to get away from that format.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like so much about The Last House on the Left remake, is it actually looked like a movie. You know, God forbid, they actually film a movie that looks like a movie, not like a fucking Nine Inch Nails video.
Yeah.
But anyway, what else we got? Let's read another fan question and we'll take some phone calls.
Okay. Let's see. Hey, guys, I think Jackie Earl Haley will make a strong Freddy Krueger. He's got a distinct look, and playing a child molester is old hat for the guy. So if not England, Haley is an inspired choice to play the Dream Demon. I actually read the script for Nightmare Remake, and if it's legit, it was surprisingly pretty good. They keep Freddy in the shadows for most part and eschew the stand-up Freddy from the latter sequels, a major plus in my book. A good script and a good actor playing Freddy. That's too positive thus far. I even think Samuel Bayer will do a good job at the helm. Can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm actually looking forward to the Nightmare Remake. What say you? This is from Pizzawell or Pizzawell. Pizzawell.
Well, like we were saying, the only way it will work is if that's true, if they're really going to keep him in the shadows most of the time. I think that they need to change the look of Freddy altogether. He doesn't need to have the green and red sweater. Doesn't need to have the glass. I mean, the
cat.
Doesn't need to have the fedora cap or whatever it is. They need to change his look. I mean, he can still have the claws. I guess that's more of a gimmick. But I would change the way he
looks. Maybe he could wear flannel and look like Gian.
Ribbon, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. We'll probably talk more about that here when we take phone calls.
Hello. You're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Kim.
Hey, Kim, how are you?
How you doing, Kim?
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay, it's my first.
You breaking up on us, Kim.
Oh, no.
You want to try to call back on a landline?
I'm going to take that as a yes, but I don't. Yeah. Okay.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ramble Fan from the
Hey!
Boys. Well, son of a bitch. I was hoping we'd hear from you. What say you about this Jackie Earl Haley?
Fuck. mean, it's just... How the fuck can you replace Robert Englund? I mean, really, like... Jackie Earl Haley is like, you know... Really? Bad News Bears? Jackie Earl Haley? Really? Like, I've never seen him lately. Like, I haven't seen him in Watchmen, where the fuck, and he's like, is he older than Robert Englund, or what the fuck?
Like, he's got to be around like the same age, I would think. I mean, he looks like an old cancer patient or something to me.
Jesus.
I wonder if Ogilvy is going to be in the new Nightmare on Elm Street, too.
Jesus, it sucks. I mean, you have this guy, and then the guy directed, he, like, did, Smells Like Teen Spirit or something? Like, he directed the music video for Nirvana or some shit? It's like...
Yeah.
Fuck. He just...
There's somebody I was talking to about that. I think it might have been Kelly. Kelly Marcotte, the director of End of the Pit, which, you know, will probably come out in about 15 years, was talking to us about the director, what the hell was his name? Samuel Bayer, I think. The Bayer Aspirin family.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, really putting the guy over, like, that he was a great music video director and all this. So, I mean, he thought highly of him.
Like,
so,
have we not learned anything from these horror films that bring in fucking music video directors? That Mick G guy and that shit with I think the My Bloody Valentine was by a music video director guy too, if I'm not mistaken, but quit letting motherfuckers that direct music videos do movies. That's ridiculous.
Or the Hitcher remake and fucking Hills of Ice 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. See, I didn't actually even know that. I mean, this is the first time I'd heard who the director was behind the film, but if that's the case, then this is gonna blow.
Aww.
I'm sorry, but I don't mind Jackie Earl Haley, even though, like you said, he does look like he's eating up with something, and I don't know what's going on with that, but
he's got anal cancer.
He got cancer of the ass,
yeah.
But I don't know what the deal is with that, but I will say that having a music video director is not a good idea for a franchise film. I know that to be true.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just weird that it's, I can't imagine what that Freddy Krueger, I mean, just even the look, like you're sitting there in the theater or whatever, and it's like, that's not Freddy, man, that's just some poser motherfucking fake motherfucking just, it's like, this is bullshit, man. Let me just leave the theater right now. It's like,
now, would you prefer, like, since they're going to be doing this anyway, that they, like, completely change up his look, or would you, like, have him have the same look, like, with the sweater and the hat and all that?
If I had to choose, like, if I had to choose, just don't do the fucking movie. But if I had to choose, man, I'll be honest, I don't even know. I mean, honestly, I guess if I had to be diplomatic about it, I would just obviously wait for the trailer and see what happens. But I guess, I don't know, what do you guys think? I guess, you know, what are your thoughts on
I think it would be better if they changed the look. I mean, he still had the glove and everything, but if they made something that you could separate, you know, the style of Freddy, I mean, I think if they just put him in the fucking Freddy outfit, it'll just look laughable. Because everybody, I mean, that's the thing people don't get. Everybody sees Freddy as Robert Englund. I mean, people that aren't even fans of horror movies know who that is.
Yeah.
So, it's not going to look like Freddy if it looks exactly, if he's in the exact same outfit, costume.
I just hope they don't try to do something like, my fear is they'll try to do something like they did at the beginning of the Friday the 13th remake where they'll have him wearing like the bag on his, like they'll have, I don't know what they would have Freddy do. They could have him wearing like a Mets hat or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, well, they'll try to change it up too much.
I mean, I think something they could have done that I would have been interested in was the long-awaited prequel to Nightmare on Elm Street, which tells the, you know, the backstory of who, you know, and they didn't really touch on this back then because I guess, you know, U.S. censors and stuff, he was like a child, initially supposed to be a child molester, and they changed him to a child murderer. If they will go and mention that in the new one, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, that would have been more interesting because at least there was a, in the original films, at least, like, sometimes these backgrounds come out of nowhere. Like, when the fuck did Jason get a sister? You know, Jason goes to hell. Or when the fuck did, when the fuck did Freddy get a daughter? And Freddy's dead. It's like, where the fuck did this come from? Like, you know, just out of thin air. And
yeah, the whole cursed thorn stuff, too, from Halloween 6 just comes out of nowhere. You know, it's like a...
Yeah, but at least they did talk about the background. Like, I do remember in, like, part 2 when they're at, like, Jesse and the girls at the factory, and she's, like, explaining to them, what this is, like, this is the place where Freddy took the kids before it all happened. That would have been kind of creepy and kind of, you know, pushing it a little bit, but in a good way. But I don't know. I mean, I guess if I had to really give an answer, I'd probably agree with you with keeping it different, because the guy's been, I mean, Robert Englund, he's done, what, 8 movies, a TV show, any promotional artwork, pictures, you just see Robert Englund's face, and it's just, it's like if you took, I don't know, you did a Die Hard movie and it's not Bruce Willis, or if you did a Rocky movie and it's not Stallone.
Yeah.
It's like it's, you just sort of get taken out of it, and it's kind of a big stride against the film right from the get-go, and it's kind of hard to come back from that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would be very surprised if this movie does any sort of business. I mean, like, I'm still confused as to why they couldn't use Robert Englund. Like, it was just a big no-no. We're not going to use
him. Yeah, I don't know that either. It's like, do they really think that that would damage business? Like, that the tweens or something wouldn't get that was, or would think that was too old or something? But to me, it seems like anybody that's anybody knows who that is. I mean, that is, you could not pick a bigger iconic figure from horror films. You couldn't.
Yeah, it's almost like they're just trying to get away from the original and just, okay, this is going to be our franchise, this is going to be our sequels now, and we don't want anything to do with the original except the title, and of course, stealing basically the fucking story. It's like,
yeah.
You tell him, it's like, you didn't write the movie. You just fucking copied it. You put it in the Xerox, and then you said, okay, I'm going to change 2-3 little things, and boom, we got a fucking script. And it's like, no, you didn't. You fucking stole it from Wes Craven. And fucking,
well, since you are such a big fan of the original series, and we know this because you made, like, a series of, like, 30 videos.
You made, like, a PBS series on, like, Not Red Hill Street.
Are you going to check the new one out in theaters, or are you just going to wait until the DVD comes out?
I think I would have to wait for I'll see what the trailer is. I think that's the best way to make a sort of a I guess, I mean, that's what, basically, I think that's what everybody's waiting for, is when that trailer does come out. And I wonder also if they do that sort of a, I'm guessing they'll probably do like a Nightmare on Elm Street documentary, mm-hmm. like they did His Name Was Jason. And that if they do, then maybe they'll do the same thing. Well, they'll put like a ticket and they'll say, okay, you did a couple bucks off or something. But I'll just wait for the trailer. I mean, I can bash on it all day long, but if the trailer surprises me, then I'll admit it. But
I can see it now, though, man, the video review, if you go and see it, you know, the 14-part video dissection, if you will, you know.
Well, you mentioned this, but I think that we talked about this before, that they are actually planning on doing that, his Name Was Freddy type of disc, and I guarantee you will have that in there, so you'll probably be able to see the movie for free. And I know it'll come out to coincide with the release of the film.
Well, then, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, if all else fails, at least hopefully we'll get a decent documentary. I mean, His Name Was Jason could have been better, but, you know, it's hard to beat the Crystal Lake Memories book, but at the same time, I can see, you know, not having fucking Wrong Turn 2 director, douchebag, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
You know.
Joe Mama Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, man, we appreciate you, though, calling in. I know you're one of the bigger Nightmare on Elm Street fans out there, so good to hear your opinion on it.
I can't believe I even like Freddy's Dead. I should be shot fucking.
I can't either.
I know.
At least you didn't like The Dream Child, though. I'm pretty sure that was your least favorite, right?
Yeah. It's
I would agree with that, actually.
Oh, yeah. It's just fucking, I don't know what they were smoking, you know. Maybe the reefer or cocaine or both, I don't know.
That little ugly fucking kid in that always gets
I knew
to
that
me.
Was going
to
come up.
Like, especially the part where he sort of turns into a little Freddy, you know?
Yeah, it's like, he's such a goofy looking fucking kid. It's like, where the fuck did they hire this kid? It's like,
wasn't there a part two where, I mean, he goes, he tries to talk a little bit like Freddy, the kid does. He goes, come on, Pop, you want to play with me now or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the movie, it's basically, I guess his mom's in trouble, and I think, like, Freddy's mom, the fucking nun, is like, hey, you have the power of Grayskull or whatever the fuck this shit is, and says, okay, you know, do some business, and he does some business, and somehow Freddy gets defeated, but not, but I don't fucking remember. But just weird shit.
What movie were we watching where I thought for sure that was that same kid too? It was the that remake that we saw here, not The Uninvited, but The Unborn. Wasn't that it? Or the?
Well, it could have been the same fucking kid. I mean,
no, I know that, but like I really thought that kid looked so much like that little creepy son of a bitch. Like I thought that he was like some sort of a dwarf or something.
You
want to
see something even creepier though? I think I saw a picture of that guy that was at a horror convention, the little kid from Part 5, look at him now. He looks almost exactly the same, but he's got, like, thicker eyebrows. He's even creepier.
Yeah, it's like the dude from Children of the Corn. Like, he looks even creepier now than he did when he was a kid, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't cast him in the Children of Corn remake, man. That would have been perfect casting. Like, well,
yeah, no
Eli is 666 or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm.
But, man, we appreciate you calling, and I guess we'll see you on Saturday for the Saturday Nightmares and all that if you're around.
Oh, yes, sir, and thank you for your time, and hope Uncle Bill was all right. I know he was missing an action on the MySpace, so hopefully he didn't get hurt or trip or fall down or get in a car.
Yeah, well, we could mention that. Uncle Bill actually won an award that night for...
Did I?
Yeah. You won the Toilet Plunger of the Year Award. And it was a surprise to you. You had to.
Yeah, I had to write an acceptance speech, and it was a big deal.
They took you out to Long John Silver's.
That's way better than anything I could have come up with. Yeah, that's great.
For sure. But, yeah, he's all right.
That's good. That's good to hear, though. Put the award on the mantle right next to, you know, next year you'll win the Rondo Award, and then you win the, you know,
Academy Award.
We're not even allowed to mention the Rondo Award now due to legal repercussions.
Oh, shit.
But, cool, man. We'll see you on Saturday, then.
Yes, sir, and thank you for your time.
Oh, see you later, man.
No problem. See you.
Bye-bye.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, I finally got through.
Oh, I'm glad you got back. Sorry about that. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, it was just
kind of... Oh, I'm sorry, too. Well, y'all's recording came through crystal clear, so I don't know why I didn't come through, but oh well, I'm back.
Who knows? I mean, the two internet connections, there's always a chance one of them acting fidgety. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably mine.
So what's going on, Kim? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, I know. It's been forever. I've tried, but pretty hard.
So, we're talking about Jackie Earle Haley, the new Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, ridiculous. Seriously, I've only seen him on one movie, that Little Children that had Kate Winslet in it.
Mm-hmm.
And where he played a pervert or something.
He looks like a pervert, doesn't he?
Yeah. He does. He looked really creepy. But no, it's Freddy. No, there's only one Freddy. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus, is that nobody's going to be able to replace him, so it's pretty much pointless to even try to do that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've heard y'all say before, and it's totally true. I mean, Robert Englund made Freddy. Freddy isn't just something somebody can put on makeup and be Freddy. I mean, it's... You know, he had his own thing, his own personality.
And the Nightmare on Elm Street movies were so popular back in the day. Everyone still to this day knows what Freddy Krueger looks like. It's not something like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where a lot of the teeny boppers then, they didn't even know it was a remake, you know, of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
But Nightmare on Elm Street was such a big hit, a big theatrical hit in the 80s, throughout the whole 80s, sequels and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I made sure
to watch every single one of them in the theater when they came out. except for The New Nightmare. I didn't watch that one in the theater.
I actually did watch that one. I remember watching that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean...
Wait a minute. Here's what I want to know. Have you seen Watchmen?
No, okay. I haven't seen that.
I just want to know, who the hell was Jackie Earle Haley playing in that? He wasn't the Blue Dawn guy, was
I think he was.
Was he really?
No, I do know this. He was the guy with the, he had the mask that it kept changing designs. Oh, God. What's his name? Rorschach or something like that?
Chameleon.
I'm probably saying it wrong.
I gotta get around to watch it. I gotta go back and like try to revisit all of Jackie Earle Haley's films so I can figure out, you know, how he's gonna come across in this new one, because I don't really know any. I don't think I've ever seen a film with him in it, to be
honest. I've seen Bad News Bears. I always loved that movie, but he was a little kid in that, so.
Oh, yeah. I never even watched that. I was never a fan of the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, those are pretty good movies, but what else has been going on with you? We talk about that. Have you been seeing any? I know the Asian film market, as far as horror goes, has been dying a slow death, it seems like.
Oh, the last several things I've tried to watch Asian, you know, like I'd get from Netflix, were just, I couldn't even finish them. I was like, God, it's gone down. So, I guess I'm done with Asian horror until it gets better.
Well, you really,
the old classics that I like to watch sometimes.
I know that you really liked Let the Right One In, though. We were talking about that one last week. And,
yeah, that was really awesome. Yeah, and I know I probably worded my letter weird. I didn't know what I was trying to say other than, oh, y'all at least need to see the last scene in, you know, in the subtitle format, but I didn't word it
that way. Well, actually, because of that, I actually did go back and watch the film again with the subtitles, and actually because I wanted to see the film again, just to see how much different it was. You're right, though, it is a lot different when they actually have the real sound effects that were in the film, and they're not like, it seems like they lowered them or something when they did the dubbing, like the sound didn't match up or something.
Well, the under, the underwater stuff and the moaning and all that.
Yeah, the underwater stuff, you could hear things. It sounded like a door being slammed open real hard and, you know, shrinking. It was awesome.
Yeah, I did go back and watch a few select scenes in the original audio just so I could see what you were talking about. But
yeah, I don't know how
that's really all that was needed, I guess. I mean, the subtitles weren't that great, really. But, you know, you miss the whole atmosphere by watching that. Because I watched both versions, and I'm like, I saw the dubbed, and it wasn't bad. I mean, I didn't think some of the noises she made were the same, like when she was, you know, feeding. But,
they really did screw that up, though, as far as the sound design and stuff goes. When they had the dubbing, I wouldn't have noticed had you not written that, probably, and had to go back and watch it the way it was.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's one of those movies, though, that, for me, I can say that I'll definitely go back a few times and watch it, because it was just so well made, and like we were saying, the atmosphere, the way it was shot, it was really just one of those movies that, you know, I don't know, it just
hit
with you.
Yeah, another one that I want to see that everybody is, like, praising like crazy is that Martyrs. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that one is like the new, like, Let the Right One In was the big critics' darling for a long time, and that one seems to be taking over that now. So I want to see that one, too, soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see that. I've got it in my Netflix queue. It said it's coming out, like, on the 28th, I think.
So. Well, good deal. Well, it was good hearing from you. I'm glad you were able to get through again. We were watching for you, so.
Oh, well, me too. I was so bummed. I was like, oh, the Skype is supposed to be good. I'm sure it's my damn shitty computer.
Golly.
Well,
anyway, it was great hearing you guys. Get it all the time. Glad to hear Uncle Bill's back. I was getting worried about him.
Yeah, I tripped and fell in the shitter, so I couldn't be couldn't be there last week.
I was just hoping some crazy fan didn't try to stalk you, like, wearing a dress or something.
You mean, yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can see that dude coming if he ever tries to stop.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, God.
He'd be hard to miss.
It's a Cronenberg fan, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's... So.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm sure you got lots more stuff to cover. So.
Well, cool. Well, we'll talk to you again soon, then, hopefully. And you take care.
Take care, Kim.
Okay, you too. Right.
See
bye-bye.
You. Bye. We didn't talk to Kim in a while either. Golly, it's like a dead pit family reunion here.
Golly.
So let's see what other shit we got over here, Uncle Bill. Let's read some fan questions right now.
Right now. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. LostBoy199 writes in and says, hey, I was wondering if you guys have ever heard or seen a little-known flick from the 80s called I Was a Teenage Zombie. It is yet to be released on DVD, and I think it's fucking amazing. Pure 80s cheese. I think it's amazing that you brought this up, because I hadn't even thought about this film. I've got this film on VHS.
Yeah, you bought it at Wild Wooly, didn't you?
Let me tell you something. This is a classic from that era, a classic of shittiness, that is. And I tell you what, that when I was a kid, I watched this film over and over again. I don't even know why. It's just one of those films that when you were a kid, for some reason, something about it stuck. And it's about this group of kids that I think they accidentally murder, or they murder a Mexican guy. And somewhere or another, he ends up in, like, they dump him in the river, or he falls in the river, or something
Wait
like that.
Wait a minute. Correct yourself. They murdered a Spaniard.
Right. Somewhere or another, he ends up in a river that it's, like, got toxic waste in it, or something like that, and he regenerates and turns into a zombie, and then he goes back and kills all the people that, you know, had been responsible for his death. There's one scene in it, though, that I always remember, I always real remember. There's a fat kid in it who, like, is always eating and stuff, and the zombie guy, like, catches him in a car and grabs his face and, like, rips it off and then puts it on backwards. And it looks so fucking hilarious.
I don't think I've ever seen that, or I don't remember it, at least. So we'll have to review it, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, that would be a perfect one for the creepy, crappy movie reviews, I guarantee it.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about that in a little bit. We've got some announcements coming up. But something from Crazy Ralph, he's giving his thoughts on Jackie Earl. He says, what's up, guys? I think Jackie Earl Haley will be all right in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, but Robert Englund is the real Freddy in my book. When it comes to Freddy, Englund is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. LOL. He says, I was also very sorry to hear about Lou Perryman. That was from Crazy Ralph. So let's see if we can take one more phone call. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
This is Horror Queen. Again, I know it's been a while, guys. What's up? What are you doing?
Horror Queen. How are you doing?
I know, long time no see, right? I'm good. I'm in Texas right now. I'm at work, and it sucks balls. And I'm in a pissed off mood, but I'm ready to do the topic of the week, so.
Well, hell yeah. It's good to have another female call in. Well, that doesn't happen too often.
Let's get started.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm at work. I'm nearing off, and I'm letting you know right now I'm fucking shit-faced.
All right, well.
Just so you know.
Let's have a drunken tirade about old Jackie Earl Haley. Go for it.
What's the topic, though, of the week?
We're talking about the new Freddy Krueger.
God damn it. That's what we talked about last time. Fuck that shit. I'm fucking pissed about the fucking Friday 13th bullshit that I went and saw.
Alright. Well, let's talk about
that.
That
was horrible. That was, and some of the death scenes, like, okay, when they stuck a girl in the, like, miniature deer antlers, that was ridiculous. That was so stupid. And then, like, the fucking stereotypical minority dudes and, like, It was dumb. It was fucking dumb. They raped and murdered that fucking movie. I'm fucking pissed. So as far as the Freddy Krueger movie goes, I fucking feel the same exact way, dude.
So
anyway, it's gonna be the same bullshit.
You didn't like the funny Asian guy in the Friday 13th remake? I don't believe that.
I like the funny Asian guy. He's so funny. Oh, ho, ho, ho. But you know what? Fuck that. I'm fucking here to see a fucking goddamn horror movie. You guys putting all this money into remaking a fucking classic. Fucking do something with it. If I want to see a fucking funny Asian guy, I'll fucking watch Adult Swim or some stupid shit. Not fucking pay fucking $8 to go to the fucking movie theater to watch some dumb shit. That movie sucks.
Well, some Yeah, I've noticed, though, there's a trend with these remakes, too, a lot of these big-budget remakes.
They're the exact same movie. They're all the exact fucking replicas of each other. I can't even tell the difference between any of them at all.
Well, I think that reason is Michael Bay, the guy that made Armageddon and The Rock and all those shitty movies.
Armageddon's stupid too.
He's producing all them. I think he's actually producing the new Nightmare on Elm Street as well. So.
Well, he's fucking take a vacation because he's pissing me off.
What about the Last House on the Left remake? Did you watch that?
No, the Freddy remake, I'm totally against it because they already said they're not going to do Robert Englund at all. Because, like I told you guys before, they want someone that's an unknown, that's going to be scary, but it's not going to scare me. Because we're going to put this stupid, usual bullshit, the fucking carbon copy bullshit horror movie thing that they think needs to be done, and it's going to suck. It's going to suck.
Okay.
I agree.
So tell us something good that you've seen then.
Something good that I've seen? Oh, gosh. Let me think. You know what I finally saw? You guys are talking about it. Was Zombie Strippers. It was not good. I'm not saying it was good.
Did we say it was good?
No, we didn't say it was good.
I saw Zombie Strippers. It sucked, but hey, didn't Jameson on stage fucking dancing and the blood dripping from her was badass, dude. You have to give it that.
I'll give it that, but what the hell?
I was turned on as fuck. I was like, hell yeah, I know this movie sucks, but I'm digging the bloody stripper shit.
Wow.
The bloody stripper shit was great.
I'm trying to make light of the whole thing, because it was a piece of crap, it was a piece of garbage, but hey, I would rather watch that and go fucking pay another $8 for Friday 13th goddamn again, I guarantee you that.
So you didn't like that movie?
No.
That's what I'm hearing.
No, God, we're going to say no on that one.
Okay.
No, I didn't quite care for it too much. No.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people...
I didn't like his underground lair, I didn't like his whole underground hideout. I didn't like how easily he found the mask, like, oh, look, a hockey mask just happens to be right here as my torn cloth comes off my face. How convenient. Like, it was just really, like, stupid and rushed and thrown together, and, no.
Yeah.
No, didn't. But, yeah, I didn't know the Freddy Krueger movie was going to be the topic. I wouldn't have called in. I can go on for hours and hours about that shit. You guys already know how I feel.
Right.
Sorry, I haven't been on in a while. I was in the process of moving from Nebraska to Texas, and you guys know that. I'm just now getting back into the thing. So.
Okay, that's a good choice, by the way, to move from Nebraska.
Are you going to? Do you go to any horror conventions or any of that? Because I got a big one coming up.
I'm coming to your guys' in August. That's why I'm at work right now, trying to make some fucking money.
Fuck yeah!
So I can be there in August.
Awesome. So you're gonna
dancing my ass off so I can come hang out with you guys in Kentucky in August. And we're going to do the damn thing.
Hell yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. I didn't know that, so... good deal.
Well, you see my MySpace pictures. You guys know what I do. It's obvious, so...
I had no. I don't know what you do.
we didn't know, but that's good to know. That's the info we can use. So the zombie strippers thing.
No, I'm coming for sure in August. As far as the Texas film, the film thing is in May.
Yeah.
I don't think I can make that. I got a Lamb of God concert this month. It's like one thing at a time. But I want to see you guys for sure in August.
Well, good deal. We'll be there at the Friday Night Film Fest for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I want to meet you guys. I want everything signed. I'm gonna bring all kinds of shit for you. So.
Well,
pictures. I wanted everything signed.
Well, that sounds good to me. We have no complaints.
Let's make this happen. All right. Let's see what we can do to make this happen. We need a donation drive.
I'm really coming. I swear to God, you guys, I'm going to come. I told you I would.
Awesome. So now that you're moved, you've got everything ready, are you going to join us again for the Saturday Nightmares chats and stuff?
Yeah. I gotta get a computer. I don't have one right now. Like I said, it's the process of moving. I love my dusty old Dell at my parents' house. I'm here in Texas alone, trying to get shit together. But yeah, I'll be online maybe this Saturday. I'll try to join you guys if I can.
Well, sounds good. Well, it's good to hear.
Blog chat.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah, I'll try. If I don't, I'm sorry, but I still listen to the show.
And the great thing is, because I don't know if you realize, we've had some imposter women. They try to...
We have.
Actually, no, not of you, but...
Okay.
We've had dudes pretending...
We've had
guys pretending to be women talking to us lately.
Yeah. And
so it's dudes pretending to be women?
Yes, it's an odd...
That's gross.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
So,
but,
what we're trying to say is we're glad to know that you actually exist and are female and listen to the show.
I'm all female, no surgeries, no, there's no dudage in this area.
Well, everybody, I don't know if people realize, though, Uncle Bill is into the post-op and pre-op trannies.
Just pre-op trannies.
I thought something looked funny in his picture. I saw your new picture, CK. That's cute. That's hot. Loving that.
Which one was that now?
The blonde. Blonde wig. I don't know what the fuck you're wearing. You look like a pit bull in a wig. But
is that the one where I'm holding my kitty cat?
Or something. You're doing some weird shit with an animal. I don't know. Y'all from Kentucky, I was surprised. I just thought, like, hey, I'd comment on that.
Oh, Lord.
This has been
entertaining goal.
Yeah, you know, I told you I was shit-faced. I'm at work. I have to go on stage next. I should probably let you go. You guys should probably let me go for more shit happens.
Well, hey, you call in more often. Call in on stage some night if you want to. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, like, hey, that's what I'm doing right now. Well, I've been trying to call for the last 20 minutes, so I forgot. Like, it's Thursday, and I was drunk. I'm at work. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call those dudes.
Well,
surprise them.
We're glad you did. It was an entertaining phone call, and you have
fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And dance for us out there.
Oh, I will. The next song's for you guys. It's going to be some Skid Row.
Is it 18 and live?
Yeah, I swear to God. Shiver anthem or what? No, but for real, that's what I'm dancing to next.
Fucking A. Best call ever.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God. I'm dead serious.
We believe you.
That's what makes it great.
Well, it's for you guys, all right?
All right. Well, call back again soon, please.
I'm in Corpus Christi, and I'm on stage right now, so I'm going to tell you guys bye, all right?
All right.
All right.
See you, ma'am.
Have fun.
No, I have one more song, but yeah. All right. Love you guys.
Love
you,
too. We love you, too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Dance to the wind till you die with the titties in our eyes.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was off the chain, Cole.
I'm pretty sure that's never happened on any other horror radio show.
No, you name me any other horror radio show that has had a woman call in. Well, just that has had a woman call in, but has had a woman call in that was getting ready to take the stage for some exotic
dancing. Baby.
It's going to be crazy and powerful.
Just pray to God your girlfriend doesn't listen to this.
I always pray to God my girlfriend doesn't listen to this.
Oh, let me tell you something, baby. If you're going to be coming to Friday Night Film Fest, if you will, we're going to be bringing the pole. We're going to have a pole out by our table. We should get that done.
We're going to be dancing and philandering all over the place.
Oh, God. That was a good final phone call, though. But
do we got any more questions? If we do, who cares? Is it not going to top that anyway?
Probably not, but we do have a fan. We should mention the question, since you have you're up. It's dude from Australia.
Australia.
Here we go.
G'day, fellas, from Wally Long Nuts, Australia.
Hey, now.
I'm a funny stick, the old man with two children.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I'm a huge slasher thriller fan.
No, I'm sorry. Gotta say, I dig the podcast, and a big thumbs up for making them available in MP3. I'm new to the site and podcast. Go the archive. So what I'm doing each week is I'm listening to a couple of shows starting from episode one, as well as listening to the current show. It's like finding a gold mine of horror talk. I often cop the why do you watch that rubbish, which is the stigma that these films have to put up with, but there it is. I will call a crappy horror film a crappy horror film, just as I will call There Will Be Blood overrated. Okay? I like all sorts of films. Why can't I like horror? I don't agree with everything you guys say, but then life would be very boring. He goes on to say, oh, and how good was it after one or two episodes to have a show dedicated to Friday the 13th? He's talking about our, of course, Friday the 13th extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I'm not huge on the zombie genre. That is to say, I don't disregard them altogether, and indeed, I own a number of zombie flicks, including the Romero Suite, Undead, and so on. I grew up during the era of video nasties, and years later, it was fun watching these movies for the first time. Thanks, DVD. So the flicks from the so-called golden era, the Just Before Dawn's, Happy Birthday to Me, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Don't Go Near the Park, etc., etc., having those available now is just fantastic. By the way, Happy Birthday to Me is now out of print. I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but if you have copies of that, hold on to them, sell them.
The Happy Birthday to Me DVD sucks, though.
Yeah, well, that's
they changed the audio and shit. Yeah.
Let's see. At work these days, if they hear I'm going to take a long lunch, my colleagues simply ask, now, what's it called? This year I've been off to see My Bloody Valentine 3D, Friday 13th, The Uninvited, Let the Right One In, Waiting for Last House, and Unborn. These start here shortly. Apparently those must start later in Australia or something.
Yeah.
I've also
it's
been
the
off.
Australian delight.
I've also been off to see The Reader, The Wrestler, Slumdog Millionaire, Bolt, and a bit of everything. Anyways, getting used to the accent. I'm sure you fellas would have a great time trying to understand me. For mine, the hardest thing to understand is when you start talking in falsetto. I don't know what the fuck you're saying half the time, yet somehow it's still funny. That's Bugsy. Thanks, Bugsy. Here's the thing. Even I have trouble understanding what we say when we talk in falsetto, but it's just funny, so that's why
we're we've been doing it so long now. It's like, I mean, we could when each other says, when we say shit to each other, we can sort of understand it, but like when we go back and like months later, if I'm hearing like a clip from something, most of the time I have no clue what the fuck we said during that. I mean, I don't know, but at the time when we say it, we can always usually understand what we're saying. It's hard to explain. But,
yeah, I don't know how to explain it. All I know is that it works somehow for us.
Yee!
It sure does.
Yeah.
And we're so like, does like Ann Ramsey, Sonny Landham, and everything else.
Hello. Hey, Horror Queen. Oh. Mm. So, yeah, but that is it for the call-ins. Hope everybody enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the best call-ins we've had in a long time, to be honest with you. Not just because of the last phone call.
No, but that set it off. That was off the friggin' heezy.
It was up in the air before she called, and then she just...
She blew the lid off the motherfucker,
baby.
Oh, baby.
Woo, baby. Whole queen.
It beats the taste of Mountain Dew.
It's your dove, baby. So we will be back, and we're going to have an announcement about next week's guest, in addition to a bunch of online updates and all that good stuff. So we will be back after this break here on DeadPH.com.
everybody. Now, listen, there's no better place on the internet than deadpit.com. Get all your good horror information. That's where I go if I want to know what's going on in the world of horror. Now, again, I'm Danny Roebuck, and I've been in Halloween 2, and I've been in Devil's Rejects, and I've been in Halloween, so I know a little something about horror. So go to deadpit.com and learn a little something more.
Hello, this is Sonny Landon.
And I'm Ed Ramsey.
Telling you to check out deadpit.com Saturday Night Man.
Yeah, a lot of people recognize me from Deadly Friend, but you're going to recognize CK and Uncle Bill from deadpit.com.
Every week, talk to the Uncle Bill and the Creepy Kentuckian live over at Log TV.
You said go check it out now!
Deadpit.com Saturday Night Mass. It'll make you want to chew all night.
Hell yeah.
Hey, this is Nathan Hanneman from Horror Hound Magazine. You're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Hello, folks. Welcome back here to Dead Pit Radio.
Hi.
I am Uncle Bill once again.
I'm the Creepy Kentuckian once again, too.
So, here comes the section of the programming where we have to make some very special Uber announcements.
Hell yeah. I know y'all are wondering who the guest is, because we have mentioned that we're going to have a guest.
We are. We've actually got the interview in the can, so to speak. We have a wonderful guest, a good friend, a colleague, if you will.
You. Text a post on the Dead Pit message board.
Yeah. And he's a pretty big deal. I mean, he really is. He runs Whorehound Weekend. He's one of the people that runs Whorehound Weekend. He's also the editor of Whorehound Magazine. He is
Nathan Hanneman.
Like I said, he's Jeff Hanneman's brother from Slayer.
Yeah.
He's been on tour with them for several years. I mean, he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, really interesting, different sort of interview, talking about the behind the scenes and the magazine, how that all came about, and especially the conventions, which the Whorehound conventions are really, getting extremely popular. I know the last one did really well. So we'll be talking to him next week. And special call-in portion next week, because Uncle Bill is back at it with his, plumbing course and all that good shit. We're going to have a special call-in portion, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more on the MySpace show next week, with Michael Slipcase Felcher. It's Ask Slippy.
I think something was getting ready to fall. I was bracing myself.
Like somebody hit those, huh?
Yeah, you gotta ask Slippy all of your DVD horror film related questions. I mean, the man is working on a bunch of projects. You have to ask, and he might tell you.
That's right. So if there's a movie, I know there's a lot of people out there wondering about a certain film, the status of it, call in, ask Slippy. He'll be on the line with me, or if you want to ask me something, you can do that too, but you can do that almost every fucking week. So.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
And also, just wanted to mention the Dead Pit videos that we have on YouTube. We have Diary of the Dead Pits up. Have a special video tribute to Lou Perryman up on there. And starting this Monday through Friday, it will be Sweeps Week for Creepy's Crappy Movie Reviews. 5 reviews starting on Monday.
Holy shit.
I haven't done. I was looking on there. The last Creepy Crappy Movie Review I did was back in January. So I haven't been doing them.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm busy.
Anyway, you're going to have that going. I'm definitely going to have a new Diary of the Dead Pit video. Probably by, I'll probably do it tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it should be up.
And we're going to work on and try to get something done for our special 200th video on YouTube. We've been talking about that. Might be able to get that done sometime this weekend. And that's pretty much it. And if anybody out there hasn't got any of the Dead Pit t-shirts yet, we got those available now, and we got a bunch of other shit on there. You can check it out on the Dead Pit Dead Mart. You can get t-shirts up to 3XL if you want them any bigger than that. You can special order them off us. We can get them, by God, for you.
So is there anything else we need to talk about?
We do have DVD reviews to get to.
Yeah, I mean, before that, though. I guess... Oh, yeah, I want to talk about this. I want to get some feedback on this idea. Like, this is a very popular idea right now on YouTube where a bunch of people will have, like, different guys will have, like, a Q&A thing where they'll get people to send them in Q&As about the people doing the show. Not necessarily about horror films or anything like that, but just question and answer stuff about how the show runs or, you know, about us or anything like that. I want to know, like, what people would think about us doing that, if they would be interested in that, sending in questions and queries stuff like that.
And also something what we've been sort of toying with the idea of doing a real Dead Pit street team.
Yeah. And, no joke.
You know, and it would involve small donation to get in. I mean, something like $15 donation to get 500 flyers to pass out, and it may include some sort of free Dead Pit merchandise or something. I mean, we're just sort of toying with the idea right now. Anybody that's going to an upcoming convention that wants to spread the word would get 500 Dead Pit flyers sent to them and stuff like that. So, I mean, where we don't really have that big of a budget to work with. You know, we have to do the donation thing or we just wouldn't be able to afford it, but... What do you think about that idea as well?
The Dead Pit
Street Team. I like it too. I think it's good. So let's get to the DVDs.
First up, we've got the wonderful true story of Dennis Rader,
who That's right.
most people might know under his other name, BTK. And that's the name of this film from Lionsgate, starring Kane Hodder as Dennis Rader himself. We're going to be talking about the BTK killer. He binds, he tortures, he kills. Do-do-do. The BTK killer. He binds, he tortures, he kills. Do-do-do. So there's...
yeah, and Lionsgate is sort of infamous for doing all these serial killer movies. I mean, they've done tons of them. The Green River Killer. Mummy Maniac.
The Flea Market Strangler.
Yeah. The Sayersville Slayer.
Yeah.
But this is... Yeah. When I first saw the photos of this on a way, I was on the internet a few years ago or last year, whenever, I just couldn't believe that somebody hired Kane Hodder to play Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. Cause, I mean, this just happened like 3 or 4 years ago where he finally confessed to all the crimes. He's been, the BTK killer had been killing for like over 30 years, you know, and he was never caught until, you know, just recently, not too long ago. And the story of Dennis Rader is really interesting because he was like a church leader. He was he worked for the county as a compliance officer, making sure everybody had their lawns neatly mowed and were staying off of the side, parking on the sidewalk, stuff like that. He did all that stuff, but by night, he murdered, killed all these women, some children, some even men killed him. He didn't really have one of those guys that, other than, you know, actually binding them and torturing them, didn't have, you know, unlike a lot of other serial killers, a real...
M.O.?
Yeah, I mean, it was just random more than a lot of other fuckers.
Yeah, like you said, though, he was probably most notable because of his ties to the church. I think he was a deacon or something at a church. And he was one of the lead guys at his particular church.
Right.
And yeah, he worked for the government. He was supposedly, and even in this film you see it, like a really, really strict, overly aggressive compliance officer that made people like hate him just by the way that he acted. But he was pretty much well liked by his family and stuff and his friends, except for maybe one daughter. The thing is with Dennis Rader in this one being like, Kane Hodder as Dennis Rader, is kind of eerie how much he ended up looking like Dennis Rader. And he put on probably, it looks like about 30 pounds. I'd say anywhere between 30 and 40 pounds to play this role.
Which is a pretty drastic thing for a movie with a budget. Like, I mean, because this is a really low budget movie. You can tell by watching it. And the actors in this movie, like, Kane Hodder is definitely not the best, one of the best actors. But he outshines people in it. I mean, this is how bad the acting is in this movie. Like, the actress that played his wife, it's just hilariously bad, man. And both of the daughters were horrible, too.
Yeah, so, like you, the real story behind this movie is the same story as behind his life, which was that he pretty much lived very normal by day, and then he would go out and hunt women. He would tie them up with a rope. He would do sadistic torture stuff to them, and then he would eventually kill them. And it shows, like, mostly he strangled them to death, and it shows that in this film as well. But Dennis Rader was, from all reports I've ever seen, just a strict fucking sociopath. Like, he didn't care about anybody else except himself. He just didn't care. I mean, if you've ever seen him testify in court or anything like that, it's pretty obvious that the guy just simply...
Well, I remember him showing some of the confessions, some of the courtroom. He just didn't have any emotion about it at all. He was just describing it like he was reading it from a book or something, you know. And that was one of the scariest things about him. And, you know, Kane Hodder, I think he did a decent enough job with this. I mean, he did end up looking a little like Dennis Rader, believe it or not. I mean, he added some weight on, a little bit of weight, not a whole lot. You can still tell he's a big muscled up motherfucker. Shaved the beard, just had the mustache, and put those glasses on like Dennis Rader. And he sort of transformed into him. But just talking about the movie itself, it's just one of those movies that's almost like Troll 2 in that the most enjoyable parts of it are just where they really fucked up at making it. I mean, the actors were actresses, like the lead actress, his wife, and the daughters. I don't know where they got them, if they've ever acted before, but it certainly didn't look like it to me.
Yeah, it was all, as far as the acting and the script and everything else, well, the script was basically true life, but the execution of the script, I guess, was all pretty bad. But, I'm kind of on the fence about how I thought Kane Hodder did in this. He didn't overdo it. Like, it seems to me like it would be a tendency to come across like the guy in Bundy. Now, that guy overdid it. Like, when he would go crazy and shit, it would be like just off the scales, crazy, kind of lunatic. And that's just not the case with people that really commit these types of crimes. And I think that with Kane Hodder, it stayed probably a lot closer to the truth, which was just very methodical, kind of calculating killer, even when he carried it out as well.
I mean, I think compared to like a entirely mediocre movie like the Butcher Plainfield, the Ed Gein movie, I love this one compared to that one. I mean, this is a movie I could definitely see myself watching again, mainly just because it was so bad, it was sort of good, really. I mean, Kane Hodder did fine. A lot of the stuff that was bad, it didn't have much to do with him. But just the making of the movie itself was just funny. I just liked it. I don't know. I'd say, like, if you're into movies that are so bad they're good, you'd probably get a kick out of this.
Yeah, it's got a lot of funny scenes. Like, there's a scene in it where there's a dog that keeps getting loose and running out and stuff like that, and he's the compliance officer and stuff, that he has to do something about it, and that's pretty hilarious in and of itself. But
there's a lot of arguing back and forth with people. sort of hunt.
But the end of it, like I always thought it was pretty amazing how it is they actually caught the real BTK, which is they basically broke the law, but in a weird roundabout way. They used his daughter's pap smear to match DNA evidence that was found at one of the crime scenes, which I always thought was... I didn't know that you could even do that.
Yeah, they didn't talk about that in the movie.
Yeah, I noticed that, but that was like... That's the real life... One of the real life breaks in the case was that that matched up with one of the crime scene things.
Yeah. But I would actually recommend this movie. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I recommend it. I thought it was fun. It was one of those movies where I was in the mood to just watch, because what I normally do is watch half a movie, watch the other half the next day, because I can't really stay up late during the week. But I actually stayed up late, watched the whole thing. I enjoyed it that much. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's an overall average film that I think beats out a lot of the other films that have just like the title of the serial killer on it. Like Gein or Bundy or Gacy or all that other stuff. It beats a lot of those films.
Well, I don't think it beats Gein.
Which one? There's like 15.
The one with Steve Railsback. I like
no,
the one with
no,
Steve
it doesn't
Railsback.
Beat that. So check that out, though, especially if you're a fan of Kane Hodder. I know that a lot of people are because of his roles of Jason and because of the way he is at conventions. But that's BTK from Lionsgate Home Entertainment.
Yeah, with Kane Hodder starring as Dennis Rader. Now, the next one we got up is going to be an interesting one to try to review because we were talking about the plot of this movie and doesn't really have too much of a plot in it, but it doesn't need one. And this is Christina Lindbergh's Exposed. From Synapse Films, which came out last week.
I'm going to give you a disclaimer right now. I watched this like... I have no idea what the fucking plot of this movie. I don't even know if it has a plot. Like, every 5 minutes or so, I would turn and look at the television, and it would be her naked. So that was like all I cared about.
Well, from what I remember, Christina Lindbergh is either a high school student or a college student. It doesn't really say. And she's torn between two styles of boyfriends, I guess. One's more of an innocent guy that goes to school with her. And his name is Jan, which I guess is Swedish for John or who knows. And then the other party goer, he's more of a sadistic guy, is Helg. And they don't have any other names because
good old
really,
Helg.
They didn't really translate this into, you know, it was dubbed. So, or I mean, it wasn't dubbed.
Yeah.
It was actually subtitled. So, Kim and I know Giallo77 will appreciate it. We actually read this movie all the way through, so we didn't have a choice.
I didn't really read it. I just waited for her to get naked.
Well, that's
and watch those parts.
But
of
if you wanted to, you know, understand what they were saying, you had to read it. And then. He actually takes photos of her during one of the parties and sort of blackmails her with the photos to do sexual favors for the other partygoers that are going there. And she tries to convince him to give the prints back. And, you know, it's just one of those blackmail situations. And that's pretty much the only plot that's really in this, to be honest with you. I mean... The main reason to get these movies is Christina Lindbergh nude, you know.
Let me ask you something. This was like 70, what?
71.
71, 70. Are those real?
I don't think they would have to be.
Did they even have, like, breast implants around that time?
I mean, maybe they did, but they looked mighty real to me, those tits did.
Here's the thing, and why I asked that is because she is a pixie-like woman. I mean, she's really, really small. Has a really small stature. She's got some huge fucking tits. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, Aussie, I mean, come on.
Come on, that big titties. The thing about Christina Lindbergh is, though, is like, not just her tits, but like, at that point in time, just one of the best looking women that I think I've ever seen. I mean, in the face. Her body throughout, I mean, it's really just amazing. She was one of the top models in Sweden for years, you know, and no, I mean, you can definitely understand why I've seen these movies. And like I was saying, I mean, there's not a big plot in this. This is mainly an excuse for her to get nude, you know, and these are, like Cinemax style softcore movies more than anything.
Yeah, they really are. They're very light on the acting and heavy on the breasticles, and that's the way this movie was throughout. They just had a bunch of like random sex scenes, and with there's some other women in the film too. One of them that was actually really, really hot too. I don't remember the name, but there's like just it's just a bunch of different sex scenes kind of strewn together.
Hell yeah! From second one in Exposed, you see her tits.
Yeah, you do. It's amazing. I mean, like you were saying, she is probably one of the hottest women to come out of that era. Really, I don't even think people who don't know about her should definitely check this out. She's got a completely unique look. And I didn't watch this film to be watching it for any kind of story or anything like that. I'm just fascinated by watching her run around naked, to be honest. And I think anybody that buys this film, that's going to be the intent for buying the film.
No doubt. I mean, this is from 1971. She was in her early 20s. This came out. And the interesting thing, I think it was one of the first movies, maybe the first movie she ever did, was made in Sweden. And she was technically still in high school when she made that movie. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, you were
like
telling me about that.
18. So, Exposed. There's actually a lot of features on this. Our good friends at Synapse Films presented this in newly translated removable English subtitles with the Swedish Dolby Digital 2.0 mono track, an overexposed featurette with Christina Lindbergh, two music tracks from Christina Lindbergh, who actually did an album back then, or around that time. Still gallery, theatrical trailer, and chapter selections. I not only highly recommend this, I highly recommend anything you see Christina Lindbergh in.
Yeah, I actually watched the overexposed featurette thing, and that's that actually has more than just Christina Lindbergh in it. It's got the director of this movie in it, who was actually talking about after the when the film came out in theaters over in Sweden, he was just completely disheartened by how the film turned out, and he watched the first 10 minutes of it, and then he went over to a bar and started to drink and try to drink his sorrows away, and he was approached by a guy who was running a production company that had been on vacation hiatus in Sweden or whatever at that time. And he had told him that he wanted him to come and work for him. He thought there was some real potential in the film. And the guy actually turned it down. The director's name is Gustav Wiklund. He actually turned it down. And that guy would later turn out to be Roger Corman. And the guy that would take his place, it was one of the bigger name guys. I forget who it was that took his place. But
Jim Cameron?
It wasn't Jim Cameron. And it wasn't Joe Dante either. It might have been Coppola or one of those guys that started out with...
I'd say 71 was a little bit too early even for Jim Cameron.
Yeah. So whoever it was, though, I mean, he regretted that to this day, obviously, there's some interesting behind-the-scenes stuff in that.
Cool. Yeah, Synapse always does a great job with their extras. And, awesome. Awesome movie. I enjoy everything I've ever seen Christina Lindbergh in.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it. I love seeing her nude.
I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, it's the feel-good hit of the year.
They're the feel-good boobies of the year.
They're the feel-good tits of the year.
Yeah. So, yeah. Christina Lindbergh Exposed, and that is it for the show this week. Remember, Uncle Bill, next week we have a special interview with the editor of Horrorhound Magazine himself, Nathan Hanneman.
That's Jeff's little brother. We just got done doing that. That was a great time. Everybody should check that out. Anybody that has any inclination about magazines, memorabilia, or horror conventions,
that's
needs to check this interview out.
What we talk about. So that'll be next week. And remember, Sleepy's going to join us on the call-in portion. You're going to get Sleepy with it. Ask Sleepy whatever you want to about DVDs.
Yeah.
So with that... It's it for the show, Uncle Bill. That is it. We'll be back next week, though. If I'll call her with you some more.
You're on DSP.
Dot com.